You gonna do that? Yeah! So, that's my SMR, baby.
I love, like, yo, what's happening? It's Snoop Dizzle.
Snoop D to the double OG, and today we rolling up with a little bit of...
Make sure you run on down to Walmart, bring your kids. Your kids will want it the most. Make sure you pick up your copy of...
Just go Snoop Dogg and check out to get 15% off your order.
Get 15% off your order.
Oh, that's fucking horrifying.
We making lobster drinks now.
Oh, good shit. You learn you can do all this.
What do you mean?
You have so many face noises.
Yeah. Wait. Shut up. Shut up.
I couldn't swallow. Oh, I had so much frog juice. This is everyone. Everyone hates
it. Can you hear that or is it just
in
my
head?
Oh,
I can hear it.
Okay.
That's fucking horrifying. All right. So, Danny.
Yeah.
Last weekend, when we were hanging out, or I guess it was during the week, you and me were sitting down on the couch, just having a little, we were like, I think we've been doing recently, the last couple of weeks, we've been like playing around with the idea of like more man days where you and me just hang out.
Playing around with the idea of being friends.
Yeah. We've been doing this whole thing. We're like, I don't know, like we just like we exist in each other's company for a couple of hours. It's weird. Probably because we're going to Comic Palooza Memorial Day weekend in Houston, Texas. You can see us. You see us do that live.
Yeah, good.
And so
don't want to.
Yeah, last week when we were having our mandate, our our mandated mandate, I told you to lock in. Yeah. I told you you were sitting on your phone, you were waiting to pick up your mom from the airport, and I just saw you scrolling. And I was like, hey, I'm gonna watch a little bit of anime. And I watched a little bit of anime and I saw you scrolling away, not paying attention. I was like, Danny, I need you to lock in to the cultural event I'm about to key you onto, because we are going to watch Konosuba together.
Uh-huh.
And ever since you watched it, you've been on this tyrannical rampage of being like, nobody knows what Konosuba is. Meanwhile, the anime men come in here today and they're like, oh wait, Megumin comes from Slimy Sekai. Anyways, wait, no, there's Megumin and then, Milium. But they knew both of them.
Terrible with anime characters today.
It's a lot of, what do you mean? What do you mean? Oh, like I was the person turning on the wrong red light every time somebody got an answer correct.
We did a game show today and Nick holds up the prize and is like, get your fucking ReZero Subaru doll. Oh, it's like a naked woman.
I called 02 ReZero. Fucking nail me to the wall. Anyways, yes, we did our Family Feud episode today for Anime IRL. It's going to be out in like a month or so, but...
We watched Konosuba a bit. We watched like season 2, episode 6
like six
of
Konosuba. Or 5 or something, and you loved it.
It's disgusting.
You
I hated it.
Loved it so much.
Nick's there like laughing his ass
off. The biggest fan.
Nick's there like a fucking, like, I don't even know.
I was chortling.
Just chortling up a
chortling.
Storm. Just like
so funny.
Just like this isn't an accurate depiction of you, but this is the vibe you gave, where you're just like beer gut, like so high you can't even see over it, just like
using chips. It as a table.
Like just like chip crumbs all over you. You're wearing a wife beater that's soaked through with chip oil.
Yep.
And you're just like laughing chunks out
just
of your
like,
mouth.
Like Fox News reporting, just like fucking having the time of my life. I'm like, oh, Regis, you done it again.
Hot dog.
Oh, Kelly. Oh, you sultry wench.
I don't like it at all. It was in the episode where darkness, let me describe what happened.
I would love to see you do a breakdown on this.
Konosuba.
Yep. Konosuba, yes.
Konosuba is a guy who has two magic powers.
Oh, you're talking about, is it Iseo? I forget his name.
The protagonist?
Yeah. It's his...
It's Conrad Suba.
It's Conrad Subaru.
Yeah, so Conrad has two magic powers. He's been isekai'd into this He's been medieval'd into this isekai world.
Yes.
And he has two powers, and that's ice and yoink.
Yep.
And if he uses ice, he freezes something. Mm-hmm. And if he uses yoink, the animators have to work 6 days of overtime animating his wiggly little digits, and then someone's panties appear in his hands, and they go, stop!
It's called steel.
It's funny that the reaction is always like, oh, stop! I just, like, silently walk over to him and start choking him until he gave me my underwear back. Until
his eyes just started to turn red. Just, please. And the funniest part of it always is that everybody loves it, and then when he does it, the entire crowd cheers. It's like they're at a bar, they're celebrating a girl, like he's trying to steal an apple off somebody's head. A girl walks in, he accidentally steals her underwear, and he's just waving it around. Everyone's like, yeah! So good.
They always go, oh!
Yeah, he can do it.
They're like, what is this shit? I love this shit.
Is that underwear? Oh my God, it's so much fun.
If that happened to me, I'd literally, like, he'd steal my underwear, I'd get up, and I'd go, I'm going home now. And I would leave.
It's just like the way too realistic representation of it. Is that my underwear? And just like, all right, I'm going to tell my therapist about this tomorrow.
Yeah. So he's, he does that. And then the episode we watched, Darkness,
yes,
who is a tank, I suppose, who loves to get walloped. She loves a beating. And Conrad loves a beating her.
Conrad
loves hitting women.
He does. He's a champion for gender equality.
They've made that super clear.
It's very funny.
Conrad's super into hitting women. Darkness has to look like this fucking just hoe of a milkmaid. Mm-hmm. She's dressed in some alternate outfit because her dad wants her to marry some wet noodle.
Just like an incredibly nice dude, but like, she wants like some royalty monster to like lust upon her every night.
Yeah. So this dude's like too nice to her. And she's like, I want just a fucking Cheeto dust covered.
She wants the representation of me watching. Danny's perception of me watching.
Yeah, she's like, I want a dip spitting, Trump loving, mud wrestling.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. John Cena's is a religion.
Yeah. And so he has to like fuck up this marriage, I guess. And that happens. And it's horny as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So much fun. So much fun.
I got a decent amount of positive feedback, by the way, calling Fairy Tale horny.
It was quite honestly 50-50. One of the more decisive things we've ever posted.
Decisive or divisive?
Because decisive would say that it was like divisive. Because it was split down the middle, where everyone was like, fairy tale, what fairy tale is Danny watching? While other people were being like, I can't watch Fairy Tale with anybody else because somebody was talking about like a pleasure tentacle scene or something like that. And I was
sure.
Like, I was like, I don't remember that scene at all. As far as I remember Fairy Tale, it's literally just like, okay, Natsu and Gray don't wear shirts. Neither does Luffy, you know, like Luffy's always wearing a vest of some sort. So I'm like, oh wow, six packs. And like, obviously Urza has her Sailor Moon transformations where like you kind of see the outline of her titties when she switches between her like armored version and her samurai version. But besides that, I don't remember being that horny.
Lucy, a character you are starkly forgetting, is constantly just like strung up in getting porked by something.
I just don't. I haven't seen Fairy Tale in 10 years. Maybe I just like blocked that out of my memory. I don't remember like Lucy ever just getting like groped. SAO, like vine monster picks up the little one and just like yanking around by her leg and her skirt's lifted and all that kind
of
shit. I've
only seen clips of Lucy being groped.
All right, here, Lucy, Fairy Tale.
Yeah, what's the final mystery, the wild card word?
Grope?
Do you think if you just type in, look up Lucy Heartphilia or whatever, and then scene.
Heartphilia. Okay, so we're going to do Lucy Heartphilia, not Fairy Tale.
And then do scene.
Scene?
Yeah, just like a scene of her,
just
you know?
A scene.
Yeah, let's see what YouTube chooses to be like.
Lucy Heartphilia, cute moments? Future Lucy's sacrifice. Lucy confronts her father.
These might be spoilers.
Goodbye, Aquarius. Almost Kiss. Top five Lucy Heartfilia moments. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and say that, like, oh, wow, Lucy's never been, like, drawn. Oh, I have safe search on. Hold up. Oh, wait, no, I have safe search off. It's like, nice.
Oh, wait, I have it on. Lucy Heartfilia raw dogged and porked.
Lucy Heartfilia sexy scene fairy tale.
There we go.
That's what we're looking for.
I have Natsu and Gray see Lucy naked as, like, option three.
I didn't get that one.
I'm on YouTube.
Might be more tailored to your preferences, let's say.
I disagree.
We got Lucy. Oh, Lucy appears to be on a stage of sorts. Oh, she's fully in a bikini.
There it is.
Fully in a bikini, performing for a crowd of men by the looks of it. And, oh, here comes Urza. Urza is also, oh my God. All right. Well, yeah. Wow. Wowie, wow. Wow. That is an outfit. Oh, we're getting jiggle physics on the boobs.
Speaking of Konosuba. The first time we see darkness.
Big time budget for jiggle physics.
The first time we see darkness. This show is not like a great looking show.
That's the funny part. It looks like shit.
Except when someone rounds a corner.
They take a second to settle.
Yeah.
God,
so we watched
show.
A bit of Konosuba.
So much fun.
Yeah.
I still haven't caught up. I need to catch up for season three. And I know, like, that's why I want to come on here and I want to talk about Konosuba because I fucking love it. I love it so goddamn much. It's so funny because it's just, none of them are good people.
Orlandez goes, it's wild how delusional Nick is about fairy tale.
Listen, based off what I just saw, wow. Okay, maybe I was wrong. All I remember is that Natsu yells out fire punch every 35 seconds and Gray is Sasuke with ice. And then Gray has that blue-haired woman who loves him, who's obsessed with him, follows him everywhere. Like, I don't know. I don't even remember people ship Lucy and in Natsu. Is that a thing that people happen? Probably.
Pandamom goes, why is Danny only watching the sus scenes? If I'm looking up fairy tale, I'm not like, Natsu beats the big bad boss.
Oh, Natsu, you big dragon punchy moments. Fucking don't give a
actually,
shit.
I've never even like looked up, except when I was like in high school. I remember in like high school, Fairy Tail had what I considered to be the best animation, like, out at the time.
Okay.
Because they were doing, like, the fire effects are cool.
The fire effects are very cool, which you would hope in a story about the son of a dragon.
You'd certainly hope.
Yeah.
But I remember being like, man, this show looks sick. I'm about to make this my whole personality. Mm-hmm. And I was looking up scenes about it, and I was like, oh, this looks naughty.
Mm-hmm.
This looks a little...
What's wrong with that? How
this
old
looks
were you?
A little bad. I don't know, just like... 14.
And you were worried? And you were... If I had stumbled any... The smuttier it was when I was 14, the better. I was just out there jorking. I was watching...
This is my 10th time saying jorking at me in the last half hour.
I was out there fucking watching Monster Musume just to feel something. You kidding me?
I was just looking for, like, violence. Like, I was swiping right on, like, any horny thing. I was like, nope. Or swiping left. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, get me someone getting torn apart. What happened? Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's me.
Nick just yoinked.
Yeah, you're
table.
Just, you were kind of out of scene a little bit, so I was just...
Anyway, let's move on to we've seen or know anything about.
I know plenty about Konosuba. How dare you? How dare you? And I will be vindicated in this take. Okay, so I want to talk about something that I watched that you didn't watch, just for the people out there who are like, maybe only have Netflix, or maybe have been scrolling past this Netflix show and want to know what it is. So I sat down this week and I watched three episodes of The Grimm Variations, which is on Netflix, and it's based off, is it like the Brothers Grimm's stories? It's like, for those of you who don't know, the Brothers Grimm stories, you know the stories, you just may not know what they're called. It's like Little Red Riding Hood, Cinderella, Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah.
Like all of the stuff that Disney stuff is based off, basically. And so they're like super famous stories from, I think, like the 1800s or something. They're well beyond being trademarkable, which is why they're everywhere.
Yeah.
And so this is like a variation of every single one. I think there's 6 to 8 episodes. I've only watched the first three-ish. I watched Cinderella, Little Red Riding Hood, and I'm like 3/4 of the way through Hansel and Gretel. And it's animated by Wit, which is crazy.
That is crazy.
I'm just like, I don't know why. Either Wit is just being outbid on everything, or they just don't care anymore. Or they're like, somebody will come to us.
Yeah, Wit is not choosing its targets smart.
Yeah, like, so they're like, yeah, we'll do this Netflix adaptation of children's stories in like the goriest, most fucked up way imaginable.
Yeah.
So like the one that stuck out to me, the Cinderella one was so-so. It's like a take on Cinderella, except instead of like the ugly stepsisters being like super mean.
Yeah.
It's
she has boobs.
Yeah. Like Cinderella does?
Yeah, I just like the idea
loses that... her glass bra behind and someone's like, why the fuck would you wear this?
I just like the idea that like the anime version of Cinderella has to be like, instead of mean sisters, she's hot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's like kind of like that, except like mental. So it's like everybody loves the biological sister and everybody hates the stepsisters. Mm-hmm. And the biological sister is like playing with dolls and basically like treating everybody in her life as like toys.
Okay.
And so she's like, just like, from the shadows, just fucking with everybody. She like I'm not going to spoil anything, but so it's like a twist on Cinderella to make really the biological daughter who like loses the father in Cinderella, the main character of it that everybody loves. What really stuck with me, and I am going to spoil the Little Red Riding Hood like episode a little bit here. They changed Little Red Riding Hood to be like a VR, like futuristic world where like basically Fallout has happened. And in the Fallout world, there's one bastion of reality left, and it's this giant VR city. And so if you live in this giant VR city, basically, it's like a real city, but you can use like VR, like eye droplets to make yourself look like whatever you want. And you have to like pay for all these eye droplets. You can be hot, you can be tall, skinny, ripped, any of that. And it's like this super futuristic world. And it opens with this girl in a red dress. She's like a flapper dress. She's going to this club. And, like, she sits down, she orders champagne, it, like, materializes from the menu. Right. This guy called Mr. Gray sits down with her and is like, you're gorgeous, I love your dress, and all of that. And she's like, oh, cool. And they have a couple of drinks, and he's like, should we go, like, the party's not over yet, let's go to this back room. She's like, yeah, absolutely. And they go back, and, like, you see, like, all these rooms, all these people fucking, and then she's just like, oh, like she like jumps onto the bed. She's like, oh, I'm so excited. And he's like, me too. And she like gets on her. And there's just this distended, like not distended, extended, like R-word, like torture scene for like 2.5 minutes of him just like, opening her up with a scalpel, like stabbing her in the eye. And then like, it's just like him. And then it's like, he goes on this tirade of serial killings basically. Because he's the wolf. He's supposed to be the wolf hunting these Little Red Riding Hoods. So he goes down to the regular world and he's like, oh, I want to, because it's like a VR world. So he's like, I want the real thing. I want to like hunt down a real person and kill him.
Right.
And so he like goes to this madame who's supposed to be like the grandmother. And he's like, get me a Little Red Riding Hood. Like somebody who's consenting or something like not consenting, but like find me something to hunt.
Yeah.
And so he's like, all right, give me a week. I'll find the Little Red Riding Hood. And so there's this girl who's like, I forget what her name was, but she's the Little Red Riding Hood. And she like lures him into her apartment, basically drugs him, cuts his eyes out, opens his guts, like slits open his wrist, like cuts his dick off, like all this shit.
A tale as old as time.
And that's it. It was a girl with a dragon tattoo. It was like that scene exactly. It was like murdering and fucking R-wording the wolf basically. And I was like, oh my God, it was so fucked up.
Yeah.
I was sitting next to Dorothy and I was like, this is gory. It's like the goriest thing I've seen in anime in years. And I was like, this is a Little Red Riding Hood.
Crazy.
So they're putting the grim in the grim variation. So if you're like, if you want something that's like, if you like horror anime, if you like kind of like a fucked up show, like a Perfect Blue type thing, or, you know, what is it? Terraformers or Blood Sea, something like that. Then the grim variations is actually, it's pretty good for you. It's a fun variation on the stories. You know,
yeah,
it
sounded fun by your
I mean, like, it's well animated. It's wit.
Yeah, yeah.
The stories are built in a way that's fun to watch and keep around with. You like the girl with the dragon tattoo, you're going to love this iteration of it.
Yeah.
And so it's well animated and it's like done through the medium of these two brothers talking to their little sister. And it's like, their little sister's like, tell me the story, tell me the story. And then they're like,
one of them just like ashes a cigarette out and is like, oh, I got a story for you.
He's like, he's like, you want a fucking story?
He's like, puts it out on his tongue. Yeah. Like, all right.
All right, here is Hansel and Gretel are in a fucking time capsule on the moon, which is apparently the way they're doing that story. So yeah, it's fun. It's fun. If you want to watch it, I like it looks good.
It's just like one brother tells 8 out of the 9 stories, and then it's like, I want Yuji to tell me a story. And it's like, oh, I could tell the last one. He's like, nah, nah, nah. She wants me to tell one.
Yeah.
All right. Once upon a time, day was Hansel, days was Gretel. They fucking.
Everybody knows they were brother and sister, but they didn't care. She had that badonkadonk. It's like, please, this is why we don't have you step up to the plate. I like the idea of it being the opposite, where it's like one brother is like, and then the wolf was dissected. And then she's like, can Yuji tell me stories? He's like, what the fuck have you been telling her?
Comes in, he's like, tease made. Yeah. What did you tell her? He's like,
she did what with his penis? Yeah, no. So the Grimm variations are
Steve
fucking,
Harvey.
Yeah.
She did what?
Just pans to the camera that they somehow know is there. Anyway. We did Family Feud today.
Yeah, I got Steve on the brain.
You got Steve on the brain in a big way. Danny wanted me to do a bald cap and a mustache. But all right, do you want to talk about the things that we just watched together?
Yeah.
So me and Danny are in a weird spot right now, waiting for...
In our relationship.
Well, in our relationship, I'd say we're...
We're better than ever.
Better than ever.
I went home to Sarah last week after we just, like, hung out. No, 2 weekends ago.
Oh, yeah.
When Sarah was hunting Joe Biden.
Oh, yeah.
Or however long that was. Mm-hmm. We recorded...
Unsuccessfully, it looked bad.
Yeah. I know. Waste of a person.
Fucking Jesus Christ.
My girlfriend, that is. Yeah. Not the lovely Joe Biden.
Not the lovely, lovely, never done a wrong thing Joe Biden.
But after we recorded the episode, I did something that I rarely ever do, which is hang out with you. And I like did that, and then I went home. We hung out for a long time, just chatting, getting sandwiches. And then I went home, and I talked to Sarah, and I was like, Nick and I hung out today, and it was the best time I've ever had
It wasn't work.
I love our walks to that sandwich shop, unironically.
Oh, they're great?
Yeah.
It's just waiting for Neutron every 4 steps to fucking piss on something. It takes us a half hour to get there. Me and Danny, we're the sandwich boys.
I like it. It's nice.
We're yeasty boys.
I'm sick of that sandwich.
Oh, yeah. No. There's like definitely other places we could eat. Yeah. Like there's many other places to get food.
It's just easy. And I like that walk.
Yeah. It's a great walk. But like at the end of that walk, so many places to eat.
Yeah.
So many places.
Oh, can I, since we're still kind of in the cold open waters.
Okay.
Can I do a possible cold middle?
Get it.
Last night.
It's episode 63. They know who we are.
Every other set, fuck it, posers.
Yeah, you fucking losers. You don't even know the punk scene like we do.
Dude, the people for Comic Palooza told me that we have to be PG, and I'm sweating.
I don't know.
I'm so stressed.
I'm gonna swear accidentally, for sure.
He was like, you can say, like, PG swears, darn it. I'm like,
what about like, jorkin?
What about jorkin? What about whore?
Can I say slut, but like with ill intentions?
I messaged him because one of my panels is going to be like, which Hasbin Hotel character would be a great manager? I got to come up with something.
Oh, fuck.
I'm like, all right, because I can't react to things live because of copyright. So I was like, I need some Hasbin Hotel
people
thing.
People are going
to
realize you're not talented.
I know.
Oh, no.
So right now, feel free to comment a different idea.
Yeah.
But right now it's like, what Hasbin Hotel characters would be good managers? I have some funny material based on it.
Yeah.
And he was like, can you keep it PG? And I was like, okay, I have an example joke. I want to pitch. I was like, I have an example joke. Can you tell me?
So I'm just getting tag teamed, right? Like just fucking shooting loads.
I was like, can you tell me the rating that this would be? And I was like, all right, up next, Angel Dust. Now, think in your mind, what makes a good manager? I'll give you a second. And then I wait a second. I wrote that in parentheses. I wait a second. And then I go, did you think horny and on coke?
Yeah.
And I was like, how was that? And he was like, not PG.
And you're like,
I'm like, please.
Did you think Randy and on the white sniffy snoofs? You gotta just,
I'm gonna be like, did you think, and I'll look at the guy who hired us and be like, please let me say horny.
Please, my vocabulary is not fucking big enough for this shit.
So we'll see how it goes. I think I'm going to channel that anxiety and manic energy and just make it real intense for every panel. Mm-hmm.
So come to Comicpalooza and see us for one day until we get canceled. And they're like, never mind. You know, they're not even paying us. We go up one day and they're like, that was fucking awful. I'm like, hey, you know, cool. I guess we'll do the next 2 days.
I'll be like, all right, see us at see us at Colossal Con where they pay us and let me swear and drink.
Yeah, I was like, well, we can't offend John Cena. John Cena doesn't want to hear the swears.
Yeah, I guess.
He doesn't want to hear the swear. You know John Cena doesn't swear.
I'm going to be like, damn. He'll be like, what? What did
I love the idea of just every panelist, just John Cena just standing behind them.
Shaking with rage. But anyway, so every Saturday, or every other Saturday, I have this like D&D group that I just started, and...
For the world's busiest man, you have so many little things. You're like, we're going to Underground Comedy Night. We're on the list. And also, I got 8-hour D&D Saturdays.
I'm already sick of it. I'm sick of the D&D.
I don't know why. You're like, you were literally earlier. I was like, Danny, how much money do you want for anime IRL? And you're like, I don't know, man. You're like, Sarah likes to have weekends. Meanwhile, you're like, babe, sorry. No one else is going to play this half-elf fucking ranger.
Because my fucking roommates want to do it. And I've always wanted to do D&D. But now that I'm in it, I'm like, God, these go late.
Yeah, nobody realizes. D&D is fun until you hit hour 3. And you're like, oh, we're halfway through the day.
I know. But anyway, so we do D&D. And yesterday, we were hosting. And so
it's like a revolving household situation.
Well, because half the members live in Laguna, which is 2 hours away. And so, but now we're going to host permanently because they like our place more, which is way better. Which is way better
for you.
Yeah, for sure. When you end at 1 a.m. and you don't have a 2-hour drive home.
I'm sorry. Time out. The house is in Laguna Beach and somehow your house is better.
It's a small house. Okay. It's like seconds from the ocean, though.
Okay.
Which makes up for
That's kind of sick.
It's so sick. But anyway, so it's like my ex-roommate, Adam, who I'm very good friends with, and then like all of these people that he knows, and then all of my roommates, including Sarah. And so...
Is she in the campaign?
She's in the campaign.
Yikes.
She wanted
girls aren't allowed in D&D. You know this.
I know. Mm. But anyway... So one of the guys shows up on time. Mm. He's this French guy. His name's Jay. Very funny. Very French.
Gotcha.
He shows up. I've met him one other time.
He's like, oh, the croissant rogue is here.
He's all wee wee. You know, classic. Anyway, so
they're all fake.
That's the amount of energy I was willing to put into the French bit.
That's fair.
But so he shows up. He's on time. I've met him like once before. We're doing all small talk and stuff. We got tons of Mama and Big Papa's pizza. Mm-hmm. We get a text. We get an alert text saying that there's a criminal in our area and to lock your doors.
Oh, I called Josh during all this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're like, there's a criminal in the area, lock your doors. And we're like, oh, whatever. This happens all the time, blah, blah. And then we get another text.
Does it?
It's like through the Citizens app, you know?
Oh, okay.
And then
I don't have the Citizens app.
Well, yeah. There are criminals everywhere.
Yeah. This is a very unsafe place.
Yeah. So then we get another alert and it says police are establishing a perimeter. And there's a helicopter hovering exclusively above our house.
Good.
And it's just us and Jay, and we're waiting for everyone else. And we're like, all of us are like, what's up with Jay?
Hey, Jay, is this an alibi? Yeah. Be 100% real with us.
And he's like, oh, I totally was at D&D.
Sorry, I need to take this wine sauce off my baguette. Oh, how I commit murder? I would say impossible. I was at the D&D.
Yes, as I would say, don't worry about it.
I was playing a high elf rogue.
So then the other friends like send us a text and they're like, we can't get in.
Have you fucking seen Jay?
Like, don't let Jay in. But they're like,
just like slow turn.
They're like, yeah, we just picked up Jay. We're coming.
That would be
like,
fucking Skinwalker. That's a short film right there.
That'd be cool.
You let a skinwalker into your house.
I guess so.
That's heck.
But so they're like, we can't get into your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Like, our whole street is locked up by police.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, all right, we'll wait it out. Like, hours go by, like 2 hours go by. Then we see a car pull into our, like, street. And we're like, oh, they're letting people in. And we call Adam and we're like, hey, a van just got in. We think it's good. And then he's like, oh, is it the SWAT van? And we're like, haha, silly joke, Adam. SWAT, like a clown car. SWAT men bust out of this van. Canine unit peels in, like drifts down into my street. It's my neighbor. It's my immediate neighbor.
Holy
they got the
fuck.
Dogs all up in the neighbor. They have like fucking Blitz from
yeah,
from Rainbow
Six. Just throwing three frags in. They got Recruit in the back.
Yeah, they've got Thermite like
yeah.
elbowing this fucking like breaching charge.
Holy shit.
And we're all just like, meanwhile, me being like the fucking nerd, like antisocial weirdo that I am, like everyone's like glued to the window watching what's going on, and I'm like, all right, who wants the joystick and who wants a regular controller for Street Fighter? Yeah. I got Street Fighter set up.
Guys, listen, guys, I only have three joysticks, yeah. All right? Somebody's gonna have to take a hit here.
Yeah, I'm like, guys, no one ever plays Street Fighter with me, please.
I've never had this much time to have people sit on the couch and play Street Fighter.
Well, it's funny because our friends couldn't get in. They ended up getting in at like 10 p.m., which sucked to begin D&D then.
Yeah.
But on top of that, Jay stuck in our house because no one can get out either. And we didn't want to like go check. We don't want to like scamper out and have him be like, it's him, and yeah, just light us up.
Yeah, so that's how I ended up plucking mugging bullets out of a Frenchman this weekend.
So that was last night.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Have you ever met your neighbors?
Yeah, they're just like a really sweet, don't speak English Asian couple in their like 70s.
What?
Dead, torn apart, executed right in the street.
Did you see them get arrested?
They dragged him out. No, we didn't see how it resolved.
Why would you? That's the number one. Why would you? That's.
We were looking. It just kept. It went on for hours. It started at like 4 p.m., ended at like 11 or 10.
That's an incredibly slow police response time.
I mean, the perimeter. It took them. They didn't know. I guess the person must have fled like into the neighbor's backyard, is my guess.
Okay, so it wasn't. You're old, very cute, don't
I
speak
didn't
English,
ask.
Asian.
I don't know.
Knock on some doors.
Yeah.
There was a dude hit one of the our my neighbor's garages recently, and there was just a guy. There was just like our neighborhood watch guy walking around like, I'm collecting information. It's like, yeah. Get the fuck off my lawn. I'll give a rat's ass that somebody got their car ran into in a hit and run here.
Yeah.
I could give two shits.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was wild.
So kaiju number 8.
Yeah.
You want to talk about it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Good.
How'd you liked it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I feel like the biggest talking points that we definitely talked about, the opening and the ending being revealed, what the fuck is going on there?
The opening
yep.
is fucking sick.
Mm-hmm.
The ending...
It's by Youngblood, or it's either Youngblood by Abyss or Abyss by Youngblood. I do not...
I think it's Youngblood's. I think it's Young Money Get Bitches.
It's Abyss by Youngblood, yeah.
Gotcha. And then who's the outro?
One Republic.
Republic.
Which is... insane.
That's a huge miss.
Yeah.
It that is one's the most weird as hell.
It is the most like, you're now listening to 94.7. Yeah. Like here's the eighth time you've heard this yeah. hour song.
Yeah.
Like it's Harry Styles.
It's very, very Harry Styles. The opening's sick though.
Oh, it's
the opening's
so
like a sick, like Chainsaw Man outro.
Yeah.
I loved it. I was like enthralled.
You want to know what my notice? You want to know the first thing I wrote down when I saw it?
Give me the fourth.
This opening is wild. Parentheses. Danny will love.
Yeah.
I knew the second I saw like high level CG and like mirror images like popping out and twisting all yeah. to like this like kind of like intense like indie rock song. I was like, oh, Danny's gonna fucking eat this up.
It was sick. And it starts as nonsense. Like mm-hmm. it starts as just like geometric shapes mm-hmm. and then it turns into like kaijus.
Yeah.
And that's sick.
Yeah.
So that was very cool. The music throughout the whole show is like the best soundtrack I've ever heard.
See, it's so funny. Because it's not that I think that the soundtrack is bad. I think they've gotten so, I can like notice that it is noticeably unique.
Yeah.
Like I'm like listening to it and they're just like throwing sounds in, you know, yeah. It's like, depending on like what they're doing, it's like very different vibes that are being curated, but it's so outside of what's normal.
Yeah. I love it. It's so rare that I notice an anime's soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Like Attack on Titan is very good. Madoka Magica is very good.
Yes.
Those are like the only ones I know. I like, what else have we watched? Like, I can't even.
But iconic, like, music soundtracks, like Samurai Champloo, Cowboy Bebop, but jazzy, you know? Yeah,
but I just mean Cowboy Bebop is great. But, like, while watching a show, like, I don't remember a goddamn second of music from JJK. Or, like, My Hero, or, like, any of these other shows.
My Hero does a pretty good job with, like, swelling moments with its music, because I never cry reading the MHA manga, but when I rewatch, like, when I watch the MHA anime, I cry like a baby.
Yeah.
Like, I cry, like, 3 or 4 times a season. Yeah. Like, the most recent time, like, when Deku's, like, re-accepted back into UA, I read that moment in the manga, and I was like, oh, nice. But, like, MHA does such a good job of making moments serious through their music choices. So MHA, I would say, like, definitely has good music. JJK part 1 had better music design than part 2 of season 2. Cause like there was the aquarium scene that was like very visibly noticed, like the use of silence and music to like perfectly build out like what I thought was like one of the best scores in
years. Love that aquarium bit.
I love it's like high art in anime. It's like one of like the most beautiful art moments I've seen. Cause it is so vastly different from the manga. And Kaiju number 8 isn't really. So, like, I just recently reread it, and I'm enjoying the watch, but I fucking can't get over how they look.
Yeah.
And this episode, Kikuru is, like, Kikuru Shinomiya looks really good. She looks exactly like she should.
Yeah.
And I think, like, she's going to look really good. And I can see the Defense Force suits look really good. And I think the problem is nobody's in their Defense Force suits yet.
Yeah.
Like, once Kafka and Reno get in their Defense Force suits, I feel like they'll look better, but, like, they just introduced the two. There's like three like side characters. So there's the redheaded guy who's on the motorcycle who pulls up. And then there's
also real quick, this is episode 2.
Yes.
Yeah. We just didn't say that. Anyone watching this a year in advance is going to like.
True. Yeah. They're like, what the fuck are they talking about? So episode 2 of Kaiju number 8, we got to see all of the side characters who will fill, and not all of them. There's a couple of like vice captains and platoon leaders that get introduced later on, but they introduced Ao, or Aoi, A-O-I, I never know how to say that. I think I'm going to say Ao, who is, for all intents and purposes, I thought black in the manga. Like, just looks melanated in the manga, like, at least a little bit. And they just made him a straight-up white blonde dude.
Yeah. It was weird, because you showed me his manga, like, panel, and I was like, that dude looks not white in this. And you're like, he's not
like, I never reading it was like, oh yeah, not a white dude. And this is kind of what JJK is facing right now with Hikari, because Hikari is his character who's drawn rather ambiguously in the JJK manga. And everyone's like, oh, you know, like Hikari, one of people's favorite characters in all of JJK. Like, how are they going to be drawn? Like, is he going to be melanated like some people think he's going to be? Is he going to be like blonde and white? Or is he going to be a black dude with purple hair? So it's like people oscillate between the two. And I really never tend to care about these kinds of things. Like the biggest problem or issue you could see with this, like revolve around this topic, usually revolves around Robin. Because Robin?
Oh, this is so interesting you brought this up.
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
Because Robin is like, especially pre-time skip, the way that she was drawn in the manga made everybody believe she was more melanated. And pre-time skip, she is. Like inherently, like pre-time skip Robin is more melanated.
Yeah.
And people say that, and then after the time skip, she just gets like, she just becomes a Japanese woman, right? So she goes from like, definitely more like Latina coded to like Japanese in the time skip. And everyone was like, oh, the reason that Robin was more melanated in like pre-time skip is because of a printing error. And so
I thought they were going to say, cause she's in Alabasta and it's
Because it's hot as shit. Yeah, she's just tan. Yeah, could absolutely also work.
Yeah.
And so everyone's like, oh, you know, like it's a printing error and they fixed it with a time skip and that's why she's less melanated now. I with Robin, I don't care as much. I think she looks dope both ways. Aoi looks way better, like melanated. And so, in my opinion, does Hikari. Like to me, it's not I give a shit either way. I'm like, I want whatever looks better with the character design. And I think Robin looks cool both ways. Also because like her whole design changes, like she gets rid of her bangs and all that. So like, it's a big change post time skip.
It's funny because I looked up Hikari and he looks Hispanic to me.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is like Hikari is so ambiguously drawn that truly like he could be anything. But
I can see him also being white though.
Did you see that? Like this manga photo, right? Yeah. But like if you scroll over like these drawings of him as a white dude with blonde hair, it's just so uninspiring.
It's strange.
It's uninspiring. Strange. Like I just don't like, and then like these are like a lot of, I don't know if this is a like a fan drawing, but this might actually be an official drawing where he's got like purple hair and he's darker.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this right here looks way better than like, Like, he just looks way cooler like this.
Yeah. You know? It's interesting, too, because the reason I was, like, excited you brought it up about Robin is because I recently saw that, like, people are saying the same thing they do with Robin about Usopp. That Usopp is losing his melanin in recent episodes.
Really?
Of One Piece.
Yeah.
He's, like, getting lighter and lighter skin tone.
That's crazy.
And apparently Zoro also went through that. Like, he was a little more... He's definitely tan.
Zoro was darker, yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
He's, like, tan in early ones. And it makes sense because they're, like, Caribbean pirates.
Yeah.
So you'd think they'd all be, like, isn't Luffy, like...
Luffy is supposed
Dominican
to be Brazilian. He's
Brazilian?
Supposed to be Brazilian. Usopp. This is all from an SBS. So if everyone...
What is SBS?
So...
Suck butt sucker?
Section. The suck butt section. Yeah. Every chapter, Oda in the manga, like, answers questions at the end.
Oh,
and
yes,
so, like,
yes,
he'll choose,
yeah,
like, three questions. And, yeah, like, one of the questions a couple of years ago was, like, if the One Piece pirates had to be from somewhere, where would they, yeah, be from? And it
and
was,
recently it was discovered that, like, a decade ago, someone was, like... Is Robin melanated? And he was like, yes, of course. And then recently they're like, I thought Robin was melanated. And then he said, I lied.
Yeah, it was like literally just like fucking whoopsie, my bad. Like, I wanted to change things. And that's just kind of the way that Oda, like, leads his story. Like, the biggest thing, like, one of the biggest things people say in the One Piece universe is, like, there's no way to scale One Piece because it's so inconsistent in its storytelling. And it's just because Oda draws and writes what whatever the fuck he wants to.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, he's just going to do stream of consciousness onto the paper and you're gonna enjoy it and you're going to read it and you're going to be stuck in this universe. But, like, I don't remember where Robin's from, but Franky's American. Chopper was, like, Norwegian. Luffy's Brazilian. Usopp is from, I think, like, South Africa. I think that's what it's supposed to be. He's supposed to be, like, African. Yeah. I don't remember what part of Africa he was
Sanji's
in.
Sanji's French.
Sanji's French. Zoro's Japanese, obviously. Fucking samurai. Yeah. Jinbei. I don't know if Jinbei was around the fucking
Jinbei's a
Atlantis.
Fucking, like, demon monster.
Yeah,
he's
a fish man. Yeah. So, yeah, it's like, I don't remember where Robin was from, but, like, that's the thing. It's like, it's been a big talking point, and Robin is truly, like, the center point of that talking point.
That's so interesting. Speaking of, like, all that, I, like, this is so hardly, like, a thing we have to talk about.
Yeah.
But, like, something that's so interesting to me about One Piece is a lot of the merch I see, and it could just be where the story is currently or where it was when the merch was made, but I keep seeing a bunch of merch of all the characters wearing, like, kimonos.
Yeah.
And, like, samurai stuff.
It's Wano.
Is Wano, like, just pseudo Japan? Is that why?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's
what, I didn't know if that was part of it, where, like, Oda's like, I'm kind of sick of doing a pirate thing. I'm going to do, like, a Japanese-oriented thing.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, every time they hop off onto an island, the island is themed after a place. So, right. Like, Dressrosa is supposed to be, like, I think South American or, like, Caribbean. It's, like, a bunch of, like, it's, like, a flower island. And then, like, it's, like, led, like, the royal family is, like, Veronica and what's the one who's the really pretty one that Sanji's in love with? I totally space her name. But, like Dressrosa is supposed to be, like, some version of, like, Latin America. And then Wano is supposed to be just Japan.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because, you know, there's samurai, there's ninja, and they're also, like, Wano hasn't bowed to the world government. And also, Wano has samurais, and they're stronger than every pirate ever. And I'm like... there's not a manga I've ever seen that's ever been like, hey, this Japanese coded country isn't the greatest country.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, recently the Black Clover manga, Asta gets sent to the land of the rising sun or something, or like the land of sun, and he lands there and there's like seven warriors there who are just stronger than every wizard on earth.
Right.
And they're just like, hey, we're going to teach you our incredibly way stronger version of magic. And say, hey man, would have appreciated you getting involved.
Yeah.
A little earlier.
Yeah.
It's like every single time it's like, oh, look, it's Japan. Oh, look, it's the strongest people we've ever found.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I love it. Like America would do the same thing.
Yeah.
For it's sure. Like Japan's idea of themselves in America always makes me chuckle.
Yeah.
Because it's just like Japan's idea, especially in like Street Fighter of America, is just like, who's the Guile? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the American dude in Street Fighter has just got like the fucking like slicked back blonde hair.
Yeah, just shades, flat top, and just fucking ready to break something.
At any point. And like, yeah, you'll probably run into that here. But outside of the opening and the closing and kaiju.
Kaiju number eight.
Yes.
Yeah.
What did you feel about this episode?
This is definitely, I said it last week, this should have came out in like a two-part premiere.
Yeah.
Because you need this episode. Episode one's so nothing. Mm-hmm. It's such a like weak nothing first episode. This is the fun shit.
Yeah.
Like this is like some goofy dude wears my body shenanigans.
Yeah.
where he's like busts out of the hospital. Animation's great in it. Mm-hmm. Busts out of the hospital.
Not the best animated episode we saw this week, though.
No, it's not.
Which is crazy to say, considering the budget they have.
Yeah. Busts out of the hospital. They're like doing some yucks. Cool big fight that he has. Music's crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I liked all of it, except I finally pinpointed, and I told you about it, I pinpointed why I don't like the design of the kaiju in the anime opposed to the manga.
Specifically Kafka.
Kafka, yeah. Kaiju number 8 specifically. Yes. He has no delts.
Yes, he has no delts or traps.
Yeah, so he's this long sausage man. Mm-hmm. And for anyone who doesn't know, your delts are like the like back muscles that give you like a V shape.
Yeah, like if you've ever seen like a swimmer, like how they're like cut like a Dorito, but like it's like,
like a stingray.
Below and behind your armpit. Those are your delts. And then your traps are like the muscles on top of your shoulders that connect to your neck.
Yeah. Kafka, Kaiju number 8, does not have either of them.
No.
He's just a long tube man.
Which he absolutely does have in the manga.
Yeah, and it makes him look like a guy wearing a suit.
It does. It looks like he is the seventh or like sixth Five Nights at Freddy mascot.
Yeah, like he did a big punch against a larger kaiju. Yeah. And I was like, why didn't I feel the power of that? And it's because he like has this... It's like you said, he is so rounded. Mm-hmm. He just has this large, round, sleek look that makes it look like a dude in a suit, which is kind of annoying.
I just, I'm trying to think of like a visual aid to be like, I wish Kaiju number 8 looks like X, and I can't really think of it. Like, Kaiju number 8 to me currently looks like Mob Psycho. Like, it looks close to Mob Psycho, but like not in the fight scenes.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so it's like, you know, everybody has like the rounded faces. It's very like ones are one, the person who makes One Punch Man and Mob Psycho. It's like, they have that face look. I want like, and this is going to sound ridiculous because Kaiju number 8 is already better than this show, but like, I kind of want the people to look more like Bird Mask. Bird Mask, i.e. Isekai.
Bird? Oh, Shangri-La for
I want people to look more like, I want the detailing of the face. And like even if we went so far as to say, I want it to look like Go-Go Loser Ranger, where I was like, I'm getting like sharp pointed. And the reason I think Kikuro Shinomiya looks better than everybody else is one, because her design in the manga is inherently more angular. And that's why Mina Ashiro doesn't look that bad either. But like the angularity being lost from the face just makes everything feel so unserious. And I don't know if that's why one draws like that, because his stories are inherently unserious, or if that was like done intentionally, but like something about it, like Kaiju number 8 isn't a serious story. Yeah. Like we got a great chuckle out of your mom when Kafka started peeing out of his nipples. She loved that.
Yeah.
Dorothy also loved that. I've found out this is Dorothy shit. This is like, I'm kidding.
I don't know what this is, but she loves it.
Kaiju number 8, she eats it up.
I know, yeah.
If you thought I was chuckling at Konosuba, you should have seen her watching this episode.
It's so funny.
Every single bit they run. She doesn't laugh at anything.
Yeah.
We saw Bill Burr live. We went to the comedy store in LA a couple of years ago. And she was like, because she knows I love stand-up comedy, and this was back when I was like just getting out of stand-up comedy myself. And she's like, hey, let's go. I got us tickets. Like, this really, like, I heard this story super famous. I'm like, oh my God. Let's absolutely go. And they're like, there's gonna be like a surprise guest, Bill Burr, like right after Paper Tiger.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm rolling laughing. She's just like, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. And then meanwhile, the old man who's like has like a stroke when he sees the kaiju number 8, he's like, and Dorothy's just cackling. And I'm like, oh my God, this is her fucking thing.
That's so
funny. I think after this, we're watching One Punch Man.
Yeah?
I think so. I think we have to.
I do Mob Psycho.
Maybe.
That's just because I like it more, I guess. Yeah, that's fair. Fault. But Reagan's so funny.
I do love him.
There's a Reagan spinoff, I found out.
No way.
Yeah, it's called Reagan 100.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Manga.
Oh, the manga. Gotcha. Okay. I was like, that has definitely not been animated.
I mean, everything's going to be animated.
Probably. I feel like Mob Psycho, like animation end, like its animation coming to an end left a big hole in my heart. Yeah. So if Reagan decided to get an anime, I'd be very happy.
Let me see.
One needs to work on One Punch Man.
Yeah.
One has been like slowing down on One Punch Man's web novel release for like years now, to the point where the animator, the guy who's like drawing his manga, has like started to deviate from the story because he doesn't have that much material to work with.
Right.
So he's like fleshing things out and all that. And like, some people don't like the direction he's heading.
Oh, it's just called Reagan.
Nice. Nice.
Interesting.
I would love to write a manga about Ronald Reagan getting isekai'd into hell. That'd be fucking crazy. Can you imagine it just ends with like Ronald Reagan? It's like, it starts like Ronald Reagan getting shot, but he actually dies. And then he just eats it, isekai'd into hell.
I was going to say, is that an isekai or is that just dying?
Yeah, like, no, yeah, yeah, true. It's just him just like in the seventh circle of hell and he's to work his way up and then just keep getting kicked down.
Yeah.
That'd be fucking awesome. But yeah, no, I mean, Kaiju number 8, I don't know. I feel like you didn't enjoy the episode.
Why?
Because multiple times you went like, wow, this is an action-packed episode. There's three times I thought this episode was going to end. And I was like, he wants this episode to end.
Just a lot in it. I'm tired. We had a long day. Yeah. But we had a great day. We had a great day. It was fun.
Sundays are for Nick and Danny nowadays.
Hang out.
You can bring Sarah.
That's not what she means by she wants to see me on Sunday.
She doesn't want to see you in your element. She doesn't find you being like top of your game all sexy.
Mm-mm.
No.
She loves me middle of the game at best.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
She just wants you like in a couch somewhere. I'm so like, Dorothy's like, oh, it's not quality time if we're doing something. And like last night we were like gluing and cutting to get the fucking Family Feud board together. And I was like, if we're watching TV, we're just sitting there.
Yeah.
We're just like not talking. Meanwhile, we're doing arts and crafts. And sure, it's you helping me out with something, but we were chatting the whole time. And I was like, now this is quality time.
Wait, Dorothy's like, it's not quality time if we're doing something?
No, yeah, basically, yeah.
Well, so what is something like going out and like doing an event?
Dorothy needs 12 to 16 hours a weekend of me on a couch with her.
Can we like trade girlfriends?
Yeah.
That's hype.
Yeah.
Sarah doesn't consider that quality time at all.
Really?
She's like, we got to get brunch. We got to go do this. We got to go see this.
Don't get it super twisted. She needs a little bit of that every weekend. Yeah. I would say let's say you get off work at 3 p.m. Friday.
Yeah.
That gives you 9 hours left in the day till midnight. And then you have, let's say you get 20 hours of free-ish time in the next 2 days.
Yeah.
So let's say like 30 hours free time. Of a weekend, Dorothy needs at least 10 of those to be doing nothing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, she's going to, like, this weekend, I was getting a tattoo all yesterday, and then I worked all today.
Yeah.
So if I work tomorrow, she's going to be livid. Yeah. I'm going to have to stay up till 2 o'clock tonight watching something with her, making popcorn, doing something where we're just vegetating. Yeah. She needs that.
That's fine with me. My thing is that I'll like the weekend will come and I'll be like, oh, I think I'm going to go see Adam like down by Laguna. Is that cool? And she'd be like, oh, I just, you know, I thought we'd do something. We haven't done anything in like a couple weeks. And I'm like, we watched Young Sheldon for 40 hours this week. What do you mean? Did I not put in the work?
I've seen you think I want to hear Bazinga four times an episode?
I watched a whole season of Young Sheldon. Jesus. He's not that young anymore, Sarah.
He's 17. He's through college.
Wow.
Yeah, we can listen.
The dichotomy.
We can skip. We can switch. Yeah, we'll do a wife swap.
Yeah, we'll do a wife swap.
That'd be great for the show. Oh my goodness. Just like, did you touch her? did you touch her?
Did you fuck my wife, you son of a bitch? Every episode of Wife Swap should have a moment where the husbands go, yeah, did you fuck my wife?
Because it's like, I feel like it's not a possibility.
Yeah. Especially celebrity wife swap. You're telling me fucking Coolio wasn't fucking Gilbert Godfrey's wife?
There was celebrity wife swap?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Gilbert Godfrey and I think Vanilla Ice swapped. And then Coolio swapped with someone. And it was awesome. For those who don't know, Coolio did... What song did Coolio... I don't know.
Can't touch this. Do-do-do.
Did he?
No, that's
MC Hammer.
That was MC Hammer.
That's you. That's MC Hammer 23.
Coolio... Did he do Gangster's Paradise? He did Gangster's Paradise.
Coolio did Gangster's Paradise.
Been on my life, living in the Gangster's Paradise.
That dude was so awful to his wife and children. He was a terrible guy.
Oh, no.
He's dead now, so that's for the best.
Him. Yeah. He's in Gangster's Paradise.
He was like...
Hell.
whoever's wife he got, some country singer who's like... a stay-at-home dad and like loves his kids.
Okay.
But he got that dude's wife and she's like, hold on, we're gonna have to do like a 40-minute segment real quick on wife's
wife. Love it. Fucking yeah. So listen, we had 72 people watching this, the most we've ever had, and we're talking about wife swap.
I got so much fucking material right now.
My five opening minutes for Comic Palooza are wife swap based.
So Coolio gets this woman.
By the way, this is what Danny will do to you if he ever corners you in a bar. He's like, listen, sit down.
To me with two beers for who knows who, just like yelling in your ear. Like, and so then Coolio, hold on, he did. And I just like spill a beer on the ground and pick up my phone. Gangster's Paradise. It's like been spending most of our lives
living in the, you know that, you know, you don't, or I'll do more.
But anyway, he gets his country singer's wife, and she comes in and she's like, Coolio, you're not spending enough time with me and the kids, which is hilarious because it's like,
just objectively not their father. Here comes Coolio.
He didn't marry you. They're not your kids.
Yeah.
But so he's like, the wife's like, you know, and then she's like, doing the like interview cam, and she's like, I just wish Coolio would be a better husband to me.
He's just like objectively not your husband.
And he's like, and then it does his interview cam, and you're like on his side because they're like, what is this woman talking about? Whatever. And he's like, yeah, you know, she can have fun. I gave her some money. She can go grocery shopping. Mm-hmm. She clean the house. And I'm like, oh, Coolio. Oh,
Coolio, no. Coolio, no.
This is not Coolio, man.
Coolio, you're such moral high ground.
And he's like, because she's like, I thought we'd do something. He's like, I'm going to go golf. And he just like bounces. And he's like, she's like, well, what am I supposed to do? And he's like, 20, 40, 60. Here, we need pot pies. And then he leaves.
I'm sorry. Are you giving us a slice of what you said to Sarah when you told her to fuck off with $150? Yes.
Sorry, my wires got crossed.
Yeah.
But and so then she's like, she's like talking to the kids, and she's like, how do you like your father? And the kid is like six, and he's like, I wish Coolio would spend more time with me. The six-year-old, he's like, I wish Coolio would hang out with me more.
And it's like, all right, cool. Like, fucking just go do something for a week. Like, if just a man showed up in my house as a six-year-old for a week, I'm like, what the fuck? They're like, actually, this is your line. This is your line. Is like, Coolio is daddy now.
Yeah. And they go ice skating. I'm wrapping this up, I swear.
I love it.
They go ice skating. Coolio doesn't know how to ice skate. He's a mess.
Coolio's just falling apart. It's this whole thing where she grabs his hand and he's like, yeah. Never mind, it is Coolio. And they just skate away off.
Where she's like, come on, it'll be fun. And he's like, I don't ice skate. I don't do that shit. And she's like, no, it'll be fun. And he's like on the wall, and he's like, I'm not letting go, bitch. Like,
fingers dragged. Yeah.
And then, you know, they swap back, and Coolio's like, yeah, I learned to respect my wife or whatever. And then it's like, and then it fades to black, and it's like, Coolio and Denise have been divorced for 4 years now. It's
holy like, shit. Yeah. Hell yeah. Shout out to Denise.
Anyway.
And that was wife swap talk. Anyways, guy two number
our
eight.
Our new weekly
segment. Yeah, he's just fucking, we're just like, check. Listen, hey, babe, I swear I've been spending time with you. We've been watching wife swap. I've been learning lessons.
You think one of them, like, they swap and it's like, you're not fucking me enough.
Yeah, it's just like, listen, pipe me down. Oh, there's definitely been fights.
Pipe me down like Brian McCartney did when I was his wife.
Oh my God. Yeah. I would love somebody going back on wife swap. All right. Outside of that, I don't think there's anything else in, One Republic song.
Bad.
Hilarious.
Yeah, really funny.
It's just like, even your mom was like, wow, I love this.
Yeah, this is a bop.
Yeah, and we're like, all right, cool. Yeah, and that's how we know. That's how we know. This is like absolutely driving music. Okay, the only other thing that we watched together is Go-Go Loser Ranger.
Yeah, the best episode.
Which was crazy.
Gigantic.
Was absolutely nuts.
This is the best anime of the season so far.
It's currently the best anime of the season rather easily. Only because I haven't started watching Konosuba yet. He died?
He might have died.
Okay, here's my thing. I don't know if he dies. I haven't read this manga. I don't even know if, I don't think, it might have a manga. I don't know. But
it does.
Basically what happened in this episode, which was a wild, wild episode, was like, everybody found out that D was a monster immediately.
Yeah, he's terrible at his disguise.
So bad at it, where he's like, Suza, whatever her name is, Suzuriku or something, like found out last episode. And then the red-haired guy was like, I know you're a monster, I've been listening. And then he was like, but you're recruited anyways, like we're trying to make monsters and humans live together. And then we just skip to the final episode of the anime where he's fighting the leader of the Dragon Keepers.
Yeah.
And he just yoinks one of their divine artifacts away, which you would assume would be the last thing that they did.
Yeah.
And D might be dead.
Yeah, it'd be awesome if he's dead.
Oh, yeah, I'd be stoked.
That'd be so sick. I love a fucking, like, bait and switch.
If it's just, like, now she, the blonde girl's the actual MC.
Yeah.
Because, like, she actually has a pretty compelling case to be possibly more interesting.
Yeah, that would all be awesome. I don't think it's true. I think he lost an arm. Mm-hmm. That arm went flying. And I wonder if it can grow a new him.
Yeah, so at the end of the episode, you see, like, the Red Keeper goes to get his divine artifact back. But, in like, as he goes to grab it, like, the divine artifact, like, basically, like, blows away into dust.
Oh, yeah.
And that might... But D, the rest of D's body that wasn't his left arm that was turned into a divine artifact, got blown away by a divine artifact.
Yeah, so
by
I guess...
By Blue's divine artifact.
Yeah.
So, like, if that... Because that part didn't get hit by a divine artifact, that might be enough for him to, like, reincarnate.
Yeah.
But it would be sick if he was actually dead. That'd because be awesome. Getting, like, yeah, a bait and switch, there was this movie back in the day where it was, like, it was a Blumhouse movie or something. The people who made, you ever seen the movie where it's the, I think it's, who was Neck Grab, Roadhouse, the original Roadhouse
actor. Okay. Oh, Patrick Swayze?
It may not be Patrick Swayze. Who's the guy who
Mel
plays,
Gibson?
Who's the guy who plays Chris Pratt's dad in,
Mel Gibson.
No. Chris Pratt's dad in, the Marvel one.
Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell, like, outfits a car, like a Mustang with, like, a roll cage, and then he, like, drives into people and kills them.
Oh, Death Proof.
Death Proof. Death, yeah, you know that one.
Yeah, yeah.
The people who made that made another movie where it's just, like, monsters who impregnate humans, basically.
Yeah.
And they're just, like, snaking their pee-pees through, like shipping containers and just knocking up humans and making more of them. Crazy movie.
For sure.
Absolutely wild. In that movie, every single time they introduce a main character, they kill him.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Like a sheriff shows up and, like, protects, like, the cast of, like, basically, like, there's a bunch of, like, fuck-ups that are the real main characters. But every single time a hero shows up, like, the sheriff, like, is, like, all protection. Then he trips and blows his brains out. It's a great bit.
Yeah.
Every single time, like, somebody, it's like, somebody, some big badass shows up and they immediately accidentally kill themselves. It's awesome.
That's fun.
And so... If that's what it is, it's just, like, this girl just, like, manipulating all of these monsters, just slowly get all the divine artifacts, be kind of dope.
That would be really, really cool.
Also, we were talking about it, and we're like, this man has literally sold his identity to every single person, so...
Yeah, he's terrible at his job. He's not, like... He's, like, not interesting. I don't hate him, but there's nothing, like, if he died, I'm not like, what a waste of a great character.
A great character with interesting powers, because he's not going to be strong enough.
Yeah.
To fight anybody.
I am hoping, I think the dialogue's a little weird in it because it's very, like, just blunt, where it's just like, there was one, like, string of lines where it's just like,
I'm a monster.
Yeah, it's like, I'm a monster and I hate you.
Yeah.
And it's like,
and you and I are enemies.
Yeah. And I'm like, why is this, like, actually written like Power Rangers a little though? Like,
I guess. Yeah. Kind of. It's just, like, straight out for you.
Yeah. Like, is that the bit? But I think that's too easy.
Meta?
Yeah. I think that's too, like, easy to be like, for the writer to be like, it's bad because it's supposed to be.
It's meant for children. Yeah. Wink. Yeah.
Thankfully, speaking of that, I had some of my questions answered where, yes, there's a lot of blood.
Yeah.
That dude gets crowbarred so hard.
Dude, no, he gets his wig split by like a four iron.
Well, that was
the first surprising thing. We're like, oh, I thought this guy was going to be a reoccurring enemy, and he just gets like a shot. His brain gets put on the fairway.
Yeah, boy, does it. And then, the Rangers are getting a little more, like, psychotic, which is fun. I'm so shocked Green isn't a bigger personality because he's got the, like, shark teeth mouth or mask. And I was waiting for him to
be, like, Blue's got all the scars on his face. Yeah.
I mean, Blue's like a serious brooding type, which makes sense. Surprised Green isn't like a Bakugo or like.
It's episode 3 and we've been focusing on the leader. I'm assuming what's going to happen is that, like, now that the leader's divine artifact is taken, we're going to slowly be like, it's going to be a focus on all of them, right? So, like, we started where we thought we would end with the leader, which is crazy. And now we're going to work to the other ones, possibly, who will be, like, even more corrupt and, like, morally gray than Red, who's just kind of like, I hate the weak, you know? So, really good. And then we were talking about it. And the reason we said, oh, this episode of Kaiju No. 8, even though it looked good, is only the second best animated episode that we saw this week. because what the fuck is Yostar Pictures doing? How much money do they have from a Zerlane and whatever the hell else they do?
Yeah.
Because the animation was gorgeous.
They're killing it.
There's a whole scene where D gets his arm cut off and it lands on top of a water tank, and then he yanks the water tank off, like, in order to, like, bring his arm back to him. Throws the water tank at Red, who then bats it back at him, throws the crowbar he uses to, like, hit it through D's face. Gorgeously animated scene.
Yeah, it's all of it's looked great. There hasn't been any moments. There's some, like, CGI every now and then, but, like, it works, and it's not, like, there hasn't been any moments where it's just, like, a still frame shaking a bit. Yeah, it's been great. This has been a year, I guess 2 years now, but, like, a good 2 years of, like, nothing no-name studios crushing it with animation between this and Zom 100.
Yeah, I was going to say Bug Films.
Fucking
Bug Films in their 8-month hiatus, but they still, like, made a gorgeous looking anime.
Dude, has anyone checked up on them?
On Bug Films, when they're working on Zom 200, who knows? Yeah, no, so that's my thing is, like, this is, like, a real testament, but here's the problem is, and this is something that we probably should have talked about last week, but I don't think I found it in time, Ninja Kamui, the last season show where it was, like, about the ninja who loses his family and goes on this tirade and killing all these people. The last couple of episodes of it, like, the beginning episodes were some of the most gorgeously animated fights I've ever seen. The last couple of episodes, apparently either no one was watching or the budget fucking hit the bottom because it's CGI chunky, like, personal-sized mechs having, like, a sword fight that looks terrible. Oh. So I think they blew all their money on the first couple of episodes, and then, like, once you got into the one, like, the true 1v1s, the episodes look god-awful.
People, like, hate drawing mechs nowadays. Like, all mechs are always CGI. I guess they're just hard to draw.
Do you think that's because the mech genre has kind of, like, subsided?
I think that, like, but I also think it's, like, it's just tough to draw. Like, if you think of a Gundam, there's so many fucking lines on that thing.
Yeah.
That it's just, like, tough.
Because all Gundam, like, I mean, prior, like, in the 70s and 80s, all Gundam was hand-drawn.
Yeah.
And it was until, like, the 90s, until CGI came around, and then CGI was awful. And you were talking about it where we were watching the Kaiju number 8 opening, and you're like, oh, I would watch something if it looked like this.
Yeah.
And I think we are probably 3 to 4 years, and I think Demon Slayer is probably the best, like, the most indicative argument for this, where it's like, we're 3 to 4 years from CGI possibly just taking over hand-drawn.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that never happens because that's already happened with, like, American animation, like, Western stuff. I'd love for there to still be a mix, and I think there always will still be a mix. But, like, yeah, I think in, like, 2 to 3 years, we'll get a CGI anime that isn't, like, it's good, but asterisk, it's CG.
Good, yeah, it's good, but the frame rate is low. It's good, but, yeah, I wish it was drawn. Like that's what we have right now with Beastars and
Trigun
and Kengan Ashura, like, the three greatest CGI projects possibly ever made.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, good, but it, you know, it is CGI. And, like, once that frame rate goes up, like, I don't know if that's more computational power or more work or something, but I can't help but feel like the CGI is less expensive than hand-drawn.
It is.
Yeah.
Objectively,
And so it's like, if you could pump out more content and you can do it at a quality level that's comparable to hand-drawn, there's no way companies aren't going to do that.
Yeah, but I think...
And unfortunately, like, the advent of AI will make CGI usage much easier.
That's true. Yeah, where it's definitely, like, a downhill battle for... Or an uphill battle for artists coming up. But yeah, like... Yeah. Good show.
Good show.
Loser Ranger.
I'm baffled that you're so hot on it, but then again, you're only watching 3 anime right now, so the fact that that's top of your list isn't that crazy.
Yeah, there's nothing crazy happening right now in anime. I didn't have time to watch Windbreaker. It wasn't out of malice. I just simply didn't have time.
So, it got revealed this last episode. Like, you got to see the top guy. He's got, like, gray hair. He's planting a farm up top. The voice actor, the Japanese voice actor for him, Gojo. So it's like, I'm like, oh my God, it's kind of like how the main voice actor for Windbreaker is Inosuke. You can't hear it except for, like, specific moments where you can kind of hear the Gojo, like, hey, like whatever he does, like, his, like, little, like, weird childlike laugh. You hear it in those, like, breakthrough moments. And it made me so happy to realize it. I was like, Inosuke and Gojo in the show. Outside of that, I just said this show was so much fun. A brainless, enjoyable watch.
How was the fight? Any fight?
The long hair fight. It was cool. It was like a minute, you know?
Yeah.
And then there was like a breakdown of like, they're like, oh, this side of the town belongs to Beaufort. But if you cross that train track, that belongs to another like 14-year-olds to 18-year-olds
gang. Yeah, really.
And there was like, they started to like butt heads and they introduced like a rival gang. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's kind of, like I said, it's just Tokyo Revengers, but it's fun.
I'm sure I'd hate it.
Oh, you would. You probably would. It's fun. So outside of that, we, you know, we have some news, we have some flashback, we obviously have our love letters, but Stank and Cody thought up
a fantastic
idea for a game today.
I don't know what this game is, actually.
So I'll give you a rundown on it. Don't worry. That's what I'm here for. Mm-hmm. So today me and Danny are looking at the ranker list of the top 100 hottest anime men. We have 15 pairs of anime men, and I'm going to read off these pairs, and Danny is going to have to tell me which of these two men is higher on the list than the other. So the first pair that we have is Gaara and Light Yagami.
I was so quick to just be like, Light Yagami, easy.
But Gaara's got a face tattoo.
I think people think Light is hot.
Okay.
And Gaara's got this weird, every light in the house, oh my lord, the ghosts. What's happening?
I don't know.
What light is doing that?
All of them?
Somebody help me.
Rather interestingly, all of them. I think that might have been my AC kicking on or a rolling blackout, but we're good. We're still
every light. Single light just flickered. That was crazy. Violently.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Light, kind of a dork. But Gaara kind of looks like a Russian little porcelain doll.
What you have to realize is that these are two men that would be attracted to the same type of woman.
Yeah.
These are two like bad boys.
Yeah. I say Light Yagami.
Light Yagami is higher for you, and you are right. Gaara 83, Light Yagami 71. Ranker top 100 list.
Got you.
Yeah.
Wow, that fucked with my
head. That put you in a pickle. all right, so coming up at number two,
We
have Shikamaru Nara and Kurapika.
Kurapika is the Zelda boy?
Yes.
Up on there.
Kurapika is, yes, the blonde one with the red eye in the corner. Yeah.
Shikamaru.
Okay. Shikamaru is 77. Kurapika 78. You're right.
Obviously.
That's closer than I thought it would be.
What are you?
Have you people not seen Shikamaru smoking a cigarette? It's
Shikamaru
a great
look. Is so hot. I can't believe Kurapika is even on the list.
This one's crazy.
Okay.
Because these are two very different people. I guess actually pretty similar. Number three is Rengoku and Tanjiro.
How dare you?
Yeah, I know, right?
This is so tough, because I personally hate what Rengoku looks like.
Oh.
Rengoku and Tanjiro.
Yeah.
I personally hate what Rengoku looks like. He looks like a barn owl on fire.
Yeah, it's not the hair and the eyebrows is not a flattering combo.
He looks like a mascot for both ketchup and mustard.
The fact that he's on this list makes me upset a little bit.
But I wonder if there's like a sympathy vote happening where people are like, oh, the tragic.
It's personality. It's personality. You got to realize it's sometimes personality gets taken into account here.
Yes. And he's got the confidence.
Yep.
I'll go Tanjiro.
So Rengoku 62. Tanjiro 53. You're right.
Let's go.
3 for 15.
Wow.
Baby.
Tanjiro's low compared to Shikamaru.
Yeah. Tanjiro being
like
what?
A 12-year-old boy.
Also being, oh my God, like 24 spots below Shikamaru.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. All right. Number four, two swordsmen, Sasuke Uchiha, Roronoa Zoro.
This is getting harder.
That's a good one. That's good. I think Zoro's bust is like 112 centimeters versus the original E-boy.
The fact that you know his bust, though.
Yeah.
Feels
two
like
it's very different types of attractive, though.
Yeah. Oh, man. This is the hardest. I can't imagine a harder one being on here ever. I can't imagine. I'll have to do Sasuke.
Sasuke lower?
Yeah.
Sasuke 51, Zoro 41. Wow.
God.
That feels wrong. That feels wrong in my heart. I feel like Sasuke should be lower than, maybe because it's adult Sasuke is such a bad look.
Yeah, I'm like stuck in like high school. I'm like stuck in eighth grade because I knew so many girls who were like, that's my fucking boy.
Yeah, absolutely. And Zoro, but the thing is Zoro's never had a bad look. Sasuke has.
Also,
adult Sasuke is not good.
For audio only listeners, I have alternating black and red painted nails right now. Like I had to rep my boy Sasuke.
You're truly trying your hardest right now.
Itachi versus Sasuke or Zoro would have been interesting.
That I actually wonder if Itachi's on this list. Itachi is not on this list. That's crazy. All right, number five, Aki Inosuke. Two very, very different approaches here.
This is the hardest game I've ever played.
This one's tough because Inosuke is so pretty, but Aki is also, he's got that Sasuke, he's got Shikamaru mysticism.
He's got Sasuke energy. Here's the thing. I'm going to go Aki. Mm-hmm. If it's not Aki, I'm never going Sasuke energy again.
Yeah, that's fair. He's just like the girls who want a bad boy don't have, I mean, Shikamaru being high 70s is crazy.
Inosuke's got like no attractive qualities other than his muscles. He's ripped. He's so obnoxious.
He's pretty as hell.
Yeah,
so pretty.
I guess
so pretty that he was the only one they could convincingly make into a woman in the entertainment district.
But not in like a female gaze way. He looks like a chick.
Some people like
women don't like women.
I might get crucified for this take. Have you seen K-pop groups? You put a wig on any member of a K-pop group, and that is a pretty lady. Yeah. They are all soft, very feminine-looking men, and that billions of women slide off seats for them.
Aki.
Aki's your answer?
I don't think Chainsaw Man's popular enough for it. What is
You're right. Aki 34, Inosuke 35.
I'm right.
Yeah, you're right.
Let's go.
You're right, but that is
great. Neck and neck.
That is, I guess, listen, pretty people. All right, this one is a good one. Kind of. I feel like these two shouldn't be close because I feel like one of these guys is top.
Okay.
Like top 10. Number six is Howl and Sung Jin Woo.
Howl.
You would think, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. 33 for Howl. Sung Jin Woo, 44. You're right.
100%.
33 for Howl?
I know. Crazy.
Way too
that
high.
That much higher above Aki? Like,
I Inosuke being two from Howl is disrespectful to Howl. That man is hot as fuck.
These people have not heard the dub. Clearly.
No. Oh, my. Christian Bale.
Christian Bale.
All right. So we got
that one, though. That previous one. Came down to popularity, like, alone. I was like, how many people are voting for Sung Jin Woo just based off Solo Leveling's
popularity? And he's so long and tall. He's too pointy. So pointy. Number seven is Chuya Nakahara and Killua. That's Bungo Stray Dogs, right?
Oh, Chuya? I know.
Okay.
It's Chuya.
Chuya?
Aquila was like an 11-year-old.
Fully a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Fully a 12-year-old. Chuya, 31. Kilowatt, 28.
What are we doing?
What are we doing?
All right, guys?
That's wrong. That's how many wrong is
what
that?
What am I, Timothy Chalamet? Because what are we doing?
What are we doing? What am I, Timothy Chalamet? Because this chocolate makes you the Duke of Arrakis. Number eight. Oh, this is a tough one. Number eight. Nanami Kento or Suguru Gedo? That's two titans. Two titans.
Here's the thing.
Here's the thing. You got to know when this list was made. Because if this list was made after Nanami grabbing the ponytail.
You can't tell me when the list was made?
I don't know when the list was made. So that would be crucial information, but we don't know.
Womp womp.
I know. Womp indeed.
Here's the thing. Uh-huh. Here's why that's a great matchup. Gojo's not involved. If it was either of them or Gojo, I'd go Gojo for sure.
Interesting. Probably the right choice.
Or who's the Ghetto's the one who gets killed by Gojo?
Yeah.
That's Toji.
Toji gets killed and Ghetto also gets killed by Gojo. He gets both of them.
Ghetto's not hotter than Toji.
Ghetto's not hotter than Toji. Right, that's fair. Well, once again, that's male gaze versus female gaze. Ghetto is incredibly female gaze. Toji is very male gaze.
Yeah.
It's the muscles. But Ghetto's got like long hair. He wears flowy clothing. He cares about Gojo.
I'll do Nanami.
You're going to go with Nanami?
It's wrong, but
that's probably who I would have gone with. Nanami is 18. Ghetto is 13. So you're wrong.
13 is criminal activity.
I don't know. But here's the thing.
Toji is hotter than both of them.
But you got to take this into account here. That means female gaze is getting you lower on this list. You got to take that. You got to take that into you with the next round here.
This is crazy.
Next up, we have. Oh, this one's silly to me. This one's silly to me. But nine, Yuji Itadori, Sukuna.
Sukuna.
Same body, but Sukuna is the hotter version of Yuji, right?
Sukuna's, it's like Yugi or Yami.
Yeah, it's like one of them has like drip and is like reads as an adult, and the other is like very much a 15-year-old. Why does this keep happening?
Horrifying.
That is horrifying. Yuji 11, low. 22 spots below Howl.
I'm not watching Konosuba because you fucking morons don't know who's hot.
That is in Yuji at 11 is criminal. That's insane.
What was Zoro? Like 36. Yeah, right?
He was like 30. Let's see. Zoro was 41. Sasuke was 51. Shikamaru was 77.
What's Sukuna? Sukuna must be one.
Five.
Let's go for me. What's happening? What's in the water?
It's got to be recency bias. It's 1,000 because Ranker, you're allowed to vote on it, and it's constantly shifting. And so this is 1,000% recency bias.
I can't put the fate of my next week in the hands of these imbeciles.
Listen, this is literally what the Family Feud episode was. It's just you're realizing you do not share the same opinion as most anime fans. All right, number 10, Osamu Dazai. Osamu Dazai and Kakashi Hatsuke. Is Dazai the captain? Is he the one who's in charge? Who's got the book? Is he the white-haired one with the book?
No,
that's not Dazai. No,
Dazai's the one. You didn't see him in the one episode we watched.
Okay.
Here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
Who's using Ranker? Is it women?
Well, think
is
about
it gays. Is it boys?
Think about who's been low on the list up until this point.
Those are the three genders. Ghetto, women, gays, and boys.
Women, gays, and boys. Hell yeah, baby. There's no they, thems on there.
That's the gays.
That's the gays. Got them.
Them's the gays.
Them's
baby.
The gays, baby. And them's the breaks.
Yeah. Oh, wowza.
Mm-hmm.
God, you'd think Kakashi because he's so much more popular.
I mean, we only have one bulge. Like, we only have one person drawn with a very obvious bulge in this room, and that's Kakashi.
But Naruto's more popular.
Yeah.
But I'd say, like...
But Bungo Stray Dog's fan base is hornier.
Is hornier.
Yeah.
At most, like, 50% of the Naruto fan base is horny.
Yeah.
90% of the Bungo fan base is horny.
Yeah. So you gotta think, is the Naruto fan base at
and
least...
And Sasuke failed me, but Shikamaru didn't.
Well, Shikamaru also came in at 77. And Sasuke was the 51.
And Chuya was pretty high.
Chuya was
like pretty low.
Chuya was 31.
Dazai.
You're going with Dazai?
Yep.
Dazai, three. Three. Oh my God, the Bungo Stray Dogs is the horn. That's the horniest fan base known to man. Kakashi Hatsuke, seven.
Bungo Horn Dogs, baby.
Oh my God, you're playing the game.
Bungo Horn Dogs.
You're playing the game. I can't help but respect him. All right. Toji is on the list. Okay. Number 11 is Toji Fushiguro and Lloyd Forger. This is daddy energy. This is the clashing of daddy energy.
I'm actually going to go bald from this game.
these are all the men that we talk about.
This is so stressful. Toji?
Yep.
Or Lloyd.
Yes.
I gotta...
Here's the thing. You're gonna go be like, oh, JJK is a bigger fandom. It may not be.
I know.
Spy Family is huge.
Lloyd's such a daddy.
Yeah.
Lloyd is, so is Toji. Such a father.
But he's also... Oh, here's the thing. We have to take into account. Lloyd's a good father.
Lloyd's genuinely a good
father. Toji's... All right. So, like, Lloyd is the father people want. Toji is, like, the father people need, you know?
Toji is, like, a daddy.
Yeah.
Lloyd
is a father.
Literally a father.
And that's the thing, is those are two different types of attraction to two different kinds of people.
I can't risk... God, they could both be one, for all I know, with these fucking chimpanzees voting.
These fucking horny chimpanzees.
Oh, Nick.
I know, it's tough. It's a tough one.
All right.
You're the one who wanted to play this game.
I don't want to play this game.
My gut reaction would have been, I would have fired off one immediately.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you who I would have voted, but I'll tell you right now.
Lloyd.
Crazy. Not who I would have gone with. Toji is 8.
Okay.
Lloyd is 6.
Let's go.
I would have gotten it wrong. I would have gone with Toji.
I was the man for this game.
Holy shit. You absolutely were. You're way more tapped into than me. This one makes me a little uncomfy. Karma Akabane, mm-hmm. Aaron Yeager.
Why? Oh, Karma.
Karma, like Assassination Classroom, redhead Karma Akabane.
Aaron. Yeah.
You know what? I think you might be wrong.
Dude,
Assassination Classroom. It's the same thing. How many people who watch Attack on Titan are horny for Aaron?
That's true. That's
how many
fair.
People who watch Assassination Classroom are horny for Karma?
That's true and fair, but I feel like Assassination Classrooms, don't you smile at me.
Oh, it's horny.
But it's not popular.
Horny fandom.
It's not popular.
It's the same thing as Assassination Classroom. The Venn diagram between Assassination Classroom and what's that? Oh, what's that anime that was like, they had like four games and they made an anime based off of it. Oh, God.
Persona?
Not Persona. And there's the bear. There's the bear that split down the middle.
Danganronpa.
Danganronpa. That's the same fan base. All right. So Karma is 12. Aaron. Who did you say? You said Aaron?
Aaron.
Aaron 16.
Wow.
Wow. How many wrong is that?
I don't know.
Is that four?
This is neck and neck.
Let's get a test here. That would be.
So far I've gotten 8
out of 15. Okay. Wrong. There's 3 left. That means
I need all of them.
You need two. Yeah. All right. 13 is Yuno, as in Yuno from Black Clover.
I know.
And Shoto Todoroki
and Yuno.
Similar vibes.
This is a fucking list and a half.
Here's my
curation.
You know what? Honestly, hats off to Stank.
Killed it.
Yeah.
Killed it.
This is impressive.
I'm going to go Todoroki.
You're going to go Todoroki? Yeah. I feel like that's the right choice. Yuno is 42, okay. Way up there. There's no way Todoroki's that high, right?
No way.
48. Oh, no!
I have to get two.
You have to get two. It's down to the wire here.
I get it, but come on, My Hero fans. Everyone hates you for being so horny.
You figured they would vote harder, especially for Todoroki.
Bakugo's got to be like 9 or something.
Bakugo's probably very high on the list. Is Todoroki the first MHA character we've gotten? I think he is. 14. Ooh. This is two sides of different coins. This is as night and day as it literally gets. Krollo Lucifer.
Who?
Krollo Lucifer from Hunter x Hunter. Is he up there? Is he? He should be.
Let me look it up.
He's an absolutely massive character. Krollo Lucifer versus Minato Namikaze.
Minato is Naruto's father,
and Krollo is like the Tumblr final boss. Like he's Tumblr boy final boss. Minato is like captain of the football team. Like this is as polar opposite as it gets. That is a great pull from Stank.
I don't know. I get it with this guy.
You get, oh yeah, I absolutely get it.
Get it.
I'm telling you right now, there's a definitive way
He's
I
got
would
the
vote.
Little cross.
Yeah.
And I keep being like Naruto's
you would, you,
popular.
You know what? You'd do a good Krollo cosplay.
Yeah.
You
right.
have his hair.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that.
Oh, people would eat it up. That's your next thirst trap photo.
This is so tense.
Yep.
I need this.
You need this one.
Krollo.
Krollo is 55.
I'm fucked. I'm boned. I'm cooked.
Minato is 61.
Let's go!
I can't believe we're coming down to the wire here. Last one.
Oh my God.
Last one to see who wins. Danny currently has 9 correct. If he gets this one right, I do homework. If he gets it wrong, he does homework. All right. 15. Yukihira Soma. Food Wars. Neji Hyuga.
This seems like a trick.
You think so?
This seems like a trick.
You think so?
It's gotta be Neji.
Okay.
But 110% of Food Wars is horny.
But not for Soma.
I know.
For Soma's dad, maybe. But not for Soma. You know?
It's Stank. Here's the thing. Somebody we know made this.
Yeah.
So it's like there can be deviousness afoot. Because it's gotta be Neji.
There's no feasible way in my mind it's Soma.
Yeah.
And if it is, everything I know is wrong because women, it was a very like not popular opinion to thirst over Neji, but it was a not popular opinion that everybody had. Everyone was like, oh man, because he was darker and edgier than Sasuke somehow.
Yeah. He was my favorite character.
He was great.
Yeah. And Soma's still nothing. He brings nothing to the table except food, literally.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Naruto characters, right? The lowest Naruto character was Kakashi, obviously. And he was like 8 or something.
Yeah.
Everybody else has been pretty high on the list. Minato, 61. Sasuke was in the 50s.
It has to be a trick because Stank made it.
But I don't think either of these guys are going to be that high. That's my
idea. Yeah.
I don't think it's going to, like, neither of these guys are top 10 characters.
No. I hate this.
I'd say go with your gut.
And
if your gut's telling you that Stank is trying to throw a 15 curveball, I'd say listen to that.
Let me see. I'll do Selma.
You're going to go with Selma.
I'm going to go
you
with Selma.
You want to lock that in? I'm going to give, because this is a big question. I'm going to give you a chance.
I'm locking it in.
You're locking Selma in. I don't know the answers, by the way.
Okay.
I figure it out when you do. You're That's locking lock. In Selma.
Yeah.
Selma is 72.
And Neji?
Neji is 75. You did it.
I outwitted each and every one of you cucks.
I'm not even mad. That was incredible to watch live.
What
that
a game.
That was incredible to watch live. Holy shit. Wow. Wow. I feel like we had our Slumdog Millionaire moment there. That was crazy.
Holy shit.
Good job.
Wow. Good I'm retiring. Job. I'm never doing a game again. They're all yours now.
That was wildly impressive. I don't think I think I probably would have gotten 7 to 8. Because wow. I think I go two male gaze.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that was, you got to think about who's voting on Ranker. And yeah. it's not shown in Punch, especially for the hottest men. It's not my fan base. It's not the way that I think.
For sure.
That was very impressive.
Huh. My heart, in like a few minutes, my heart will start beating again.
Yeah, you were just like, yeah, you've like literally shut down to nothing. What am I watching?
I don't know. What if I had been like, you gotta watch this. I'll think on it. Maybe I'll come up with it by the end of the episode.
Okay.
If there's anything that I've been being like, man, Nick's gotta watch this. Let me know in the chat.
Yeah, let us know when.
I don't want to do Rest of Beastars.
That's what I was going to say.
I know, but I don't want to waste it on just another.
More Beastars?
Yeah, because best case scenario, I see that as like.
You could make me watch something that you haven't seen.
I could do, yeah, like a fucking canary in a coal mine. Yeah. I was like, I don't think this is going to be good. Check it out for me.
You could like a Gleipnir. Yeah, Gleipnir. Yeah, you could put me on Gleipnir.
You come in, you fucking, you're like, I watch it? I'm like, I didn't. Yeah. Who cares? Like, we don't give a talk shit. About yeah. it. Wow. Yeah, well, I don't want to do Beastars because I feel like you'll come in and it'll be either identical to the last Beastars episode, like video, or we talk about it for like 2 minutes and then it's done.
When we kick to love letters, tell us if there's anything that Danny has, like, on top of sending questions, tell us if there's anything.
You haven't seen Banana Fish, have
I
you?
I haven't seen Banana Fish.
It might be that.
Okay.
That'd be crazy.
You can lock in your answer. Lock in your answer during Love Letters. Yeah. So, my flashback of the week, I got a big flashback. Yeah. It's that the Spy X Family movie came out and that we didn't get invited. Spy Family movie came
that
out.
That can't be the flashback every time. We'll never go to one.
No, because I want people to understand that we are them. We are right there. We are men of the people. Yeah. Boy, oh boy, do we hold very little sway. There was a anime huge reveal in LA. Stella went. She looks great. She looked like she had a wonderful time. We didn't even, you know what's crazy? Craziest bit about all of it. I got a connection at Crunchyroll like 2.5 weeks ago. And she was like, I was like, hey, I want to get my podcast sponsored. I want to get this new page sponsored. I want you guys to be like leading sponsors on everything. And she was like, I only control inviting influencers to events. And I was like, oh, fuck. Yeah. I'd like to do that too. And she was like, ah. And then it was like, she was like, we got a Spy Family thing coming up in a couple of weeks. She was like, I'll see if I can get you on. We might be booked up. And wow. I was like, who is it filled with? Who have you filled the like, oh, I'm sorry. Aaron Donald's coming. Like, what's going on? Yeah. Who is filling the seats? And so, I mean, apparently Stella, and she absolutely deserves it.
We'll
She's fantastic.
See if we can squeeze in biggest Naruto YouTuber on the platform.
Yeah, it's like fucking like I don't do a million subscribers related to anime on YouTube. Like, fuck me, I guess. And so, yeah, no, it looks great. I wanted to bring Dorothy because she loves Spy Family. So me and Dorothy are probably just going to go see it in theaters, but she likes getting dressed up. So who knows? Maybe she does have a Yor cosplay that I made.
Oh, true. You're a big fan of. Yeah, you big love
fan,
that.
Big fan of. She's perfect for it. She's 5'10". She has black hair. Yeah, she's awesome for it. So Spy Family came out with a movie. It looks awesome. I'm going to go see it in a couple days. If you like Spy Family, you should go see it. I don't know why I'm doing promo for it. We didn't get invited.
Yeah, true. Fuck it. Don't
fuck
see it.
Actually, yeah, fucking don't see it.
Yeah, tank that series.
Tank that. Yeah, fucking take Spy Family off the airs, even though Dorothy loves it. Do you have flashback news?
Yeah, I'm substantiating it real quick.
Oh, yeah? We're doing a little filler content on it?
It might not be true. Studio Pierrot's president has hinted that Boruto and Black Clover will be coming back as seasonal anime.
That's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. I can't believe that wasn't your news.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What?
Black Clover and Boruto will be seasonal.
First off, it needs to be. Studio Pierrot president.
Just look up like Boruto seasonal.
Let's see. Boruto. Mishiyuki Honma, president of Studio Pierrot, confirms possible return to seasonal anime. Because here's my thing. That makes a lot of sense because Boruto's anime is plagued with filler. It's 75% filler. Everybody hates it.
Yeah.
The canon stuff is actually really, really good. This is a crazy possible switch for the industry. Because yes, I understand. I love you. But Black Clover has, ever since a couple of chapters ago, switched to a quarterly release schedule. And they're only putting out 25-page chapters. So it's like every 3 months, we get a chapter of Black Clover, basically. A chapter and a half of Black Clover. And we're only 7-8 chapters from the end of Black Clover, possibly. Like, Asta is currently fighting the final bad guy. Mm. But 7 chapters at a 3-month clip means that Black Clover will not be over for 2.5 years. That's not the end of the world, because there's a lot of... I know, he wants attention right now.
Listeners, Nick's dog keeps putting out his paw to hold Nick's hand.
Yeah, Wagyu, come here, baby. Come here. What? Come here.
He just wants his hand held.
Come here.
Now he's in the seat.
Yeah.
He's in the seat. God, what a guy. This is the best dog I've ever seen in my life. And I said that about Neutron.
This is why he's my favorite.
This one's better.
Yeah, I know. So Black Clover is now like 3 years out from actually being finished at any point. And so, but the anime has been gone for years. The anime has been gone since like 2018, 2019. And the reason that the anime has been gone for so long is because they did no filler. They did like 3 episodes of filler, all of which were really good. And then the pacing was just new gen pacing, but weekly basis.
Yeah,
so they did 170 episodes, and because of that, the animation is lacking in points. And it gets really good after the animation gets good after 100, like episode 100. But it's this kind of issue where they're like, oh, we ripped the manga. Now we have to wait for the manga to catch back up. And them coming back with seasonal means, one, it's going to look good, and two, they're going to give the manga more time to finish because they have. I mean, they're just starting the Dark Triad arc, which is like 80 chapters long. They have years of like anime to adapt. And they just did the movie, which was like one of the most popular movies that Netflix released in a long time, at least animated wise. Boruto coming back seasonal is also huge because at the end of Boruto, like episode fucking God knows, 280 or something, which they adapted 65 chapters in 280 episodes. They like teased that like, you know, Boruto gets like, it's like Boruto basically like, Boruto dies, basically, but he comes back to life.
Crazy.
Yeah. And so they just ended with that. Them coming back seasonal would be huge, but everyone was talking about recently, like, oh, Boruto's not coming back to like 2028. If they switch to seasonal, and it's like, oh my God, Bleach is seasonal.
Yeah.
Boruto, aka Naruto, is seasonal.
Yeah.
One Piece could feasibly become like seasonal, which would be crazy and also really good considering the fact that Oda is now releasing chapters at his slowest ever pace.
Yeah. It'd be huge. At that point, it's just One Piece being seasonal, or it's just One Piece not being seasonal, and like what, Dr. Conan or whatever, Detective Conan.
Yeah, it's like Detective Conan, and then what's the fucking blue dude?
Gintama?
No, not Gintama. Not Doro. Hey, Doro.
We did this like last week.
Doraemon. Yeah. Doraemon. Yeah, like 5,000 episodes in, but those are children's shows.
Yeah.
So they don't need to be like, there's no like complicated fights happening in Detective Conan or Doraemon.
Everything should be seasonal.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be so hype if it were. Yeah. And end of news.
Yeah.
And that hype.
That is crazy. That's huge news. Yeah. And I'm so excited for that, because to see Boruto animated in all its glory, because the manga's carrying it right now, because the anime's been gone for a year and a half, and everyone's like, well, that's it, Boruto's canceled forever. If it came back seasonal, it would make sense, because to see what Studio Pierrot is doing with the Thousand Year Blood War arc, it's some of the best animation out, period. And it's really the only thing carrying TYBW as it stands right now, because the story is so
meh. So Bleach.
It's so Bleach. And so it's like, to have that come as seasonal would be absolutely massive. That's huge news.
Yeah, maybe.
My best boy is John Weary. Specifically John Weary.
Who is that?
JJK's official English translator. Because
did I send you this?
You did send me this. And I was like,
that guy doesn't know either Japanese or English.
Straight up sucks at his job. It is hilarious. Listen, John Weary is the official English translator for JJK. And for some of you who possibly aren't caught up with JJK or don't read the manga, you won't know this, but I don't read the official releases of JJK. Mostly because of because one, the leaks come out first, and two, because of this. The JJK official translator, John Weary, has no goddamn idea what he's doing. He's awful at his job, and it's hilarious.
He has no concept of either language he's supposed to know.
So there's a scene in where Gojo gets asked if he would fight, if he fought like 20-fingered Sukuna, if he would win. And they're like, oh, if you fought full-powered Sukuna, who would win? And Sukuna's like, or Gojo's like, I would probably struggle a little bit. It would be a tough fight. But then he goes, nah, I'd win. One of the most famous moments in the entirety of the JJK manga, anime, anything. John Weary just translated it as, no. Like, would you, like, would you, like, oh, I'd struggle a little bit, but then, no. That's it. Which is massively different from I'd win. It's the reverse of what Gojo is supposed to, it's the reverse of what Gojo is trying to say. So the fan translators for JJK are actually really good. And because JJK is the most popular manga on Earth, if you're a good fan translator, you can make a good amount of money getting those leaks out early, getting like page like clinks, all that. Like people do it on Twitter, people do it in Discords, Reddit, all that. Like there's money in translating this shit and then putting it out and getting ads on top of it. So the fan translators are really good. Yeah. John Weary, who's now translated 270-ish chapters, has no idea what he's doing, and that is king shit.
Yeah.
That is, I lied on my resume, I got a job I'm unqualified for, and I will not fucking learn.
Well, it's funny because allegedly there are multiple instances where John Weary just writes the opposite of what these fan translators are claiming is the intended meaning.
Yep.
And so it's like, at that point, it's like, what is canon?
Mm-hmm.
Because technically, it's canon that Gojo thinks he wouldn't beat Sukuna.
They went back and changed it, but yeah.
So the second you have to do that once, get a new guy.
Fire him.
Right?
Fire him immediately. There's
that's,
so many people
that's
who
That's gigantic.
Think, like, it's like not like Japanese is some like, it's like Navajo. It's not some lost language. There's millions of people who speak both Japanese and English, and there's probably hundreds of thousands of people who can read and write both. So like, we can get a translator who can do this job. Hi, hello. So absolutely hilarious. I love that story. I've just been reading the fact, I probably haven't read an official release of JJK in 20, 30 chapters. Like I just, because John Weary's so bad at his job. And when he does get the translation right, when he technically conveys the right message, it's like, I know. Hello.
What's happening for our audio?
Wagyu is eating my ears is kind of what he does when he gets anxious about things. And he's mostly anxious about the fact that
baby.
He is not sitting comfortably.
Look at this baby.
He's a big old baby. What was I going to say? Oh, even when he does translate things correctly, he literally will say it in the most complicated way possible. And JJK is already such a fucking nightmare to understand that like having somebody translate it into the English that you understand and then like maybe not be saying it right. And also if they are saying it right, have it be convoluted as hell is always awful.
Yeah. So that's hype.
Yeah. Who's your best boy?
My best boy is Q Hayashida.
Okay.
Who is the mangaka of Dorohedoro.
Okay.
Because my God, is she an outstanding artist.
Dorohedoro's gorgeous artwork.
I went to Barnes & Noble the other day, picked up two manga because they're having a sale. One buy one, get one half off. An all paper manga.
Yeah.
That's
a great deal.
Great deal.
Great deal.
Phenomenal deal. So I picked up Dorohedoro, chapter one, and she has a new one out.
Oh, really?
Called, like, Die Something.
Did she do Odd Talk Taxi, or is that somebody different?
That's not her.
Okay.
But, I was gonna make Dorohedoro my best boy, but I haven't started it yet. I've just flipped through, like, the art. Mm. Art's just, like, crazy.
Even the covers and the detail on, like, their faces.
Oh, yeah. If you've seen the anime and haven't looked at the manga, look at the manga. Like, just Google image search Dorohedoro manga. It's, like, some of the coolest artwork I've ever seen. The blacks. There's so much deep, dark black usage. And it's like so gritty, it's so edgy, and it just, if the story is good, if the story holds up, it will just further cement the fact that the best manga are written by women.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ike, Sailor Moon. Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, Dorohedoro.
Madoka Magica. Beastars.
Beastars is a woman.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. They're just the best ones.
Yeah.
Anytime I'm like, God, the dialogue is like blowing me away. Like, this is such... Like, the emotion is so much more human than I find in a lot of manga.
Mm-hmm.
And I look it up, it's a woman.
Yeah.
Other than Vinland Saga, that's the only outlier.
Where the emotion, like, you're like, oh my God, this is, like, the gold standard, how, like, the emotional spectrum that we should be having in anime and manga.
And it's a man. That's the only instance.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. But also, it makes a lot of sense. Like, women have a better understanding of men's emotional spectrum than a lot of men do, especially mangakas, who are usually, like, indoor men. Yeah, so that's crazy. I need to repick up Dora Hedora. I read, like, the first couple of chapters, and then I dropped it, and I really need to get back into
it. It's not on any of these apps, which is why I bought it.
It's such a shame, because I'm such a phone scroller.
I can, I'll, like, give it to you when it's done. Mm-hmm. I also, you gotta read Gachikuda, because it's fucking awesome. Gachikuchi. You got it. The first volume is so sick.
Is that the one with the red-haired kid and the silver-haired girl?
No.
No.
No, that's Gog, like, something Goku. Goku Gacharai or something.
Yeah. Every time I open the Shonen Jump app, there's, like, a new chapter of it.
Either Gachikuchi or Goku's Gacharai.
Yeah, Goku, yeah, we're not butchering these names at all.
But Gachikuda is phenomenal in the first volume. The artwork is outstanding. The premise is like I guarantee it's
you actually did pretty good. Goku Rakugai.
Goku Rakugai, yeah. The Gachikuda has a similar art style to that. Mm-hmm. I promise you, if this gets like a Studio Wit or MAPPA anime adaptation, it's gonna be the next Demon Slayer.
Really?
Like, it will, genuinely, and I've never said that about anything else before. Uh-huh. It will be the next big, like, you'll see it everywhere.
Mega, like, brings a bunch of new wave of people into anime.
It's just got, like, stellar character designs. Like, character designs where you see it and you're like, I could see this on merch everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Stellar character designs, pretty cool power system. It's like an item-based power system where...
Gachikuda.
So, Gachia, like, G-A... Chiakuda.
Gachikudia. Gotcha. Yeah.
Cool power system where it's like item based. So
the guy with the big old gloves.
Yeah, big gloves. Yeah. So it's cool. It's the characters in this world. It's like trash punk. Mm-hmm. And there's like a society above the trash and then a big pit where all the trash gets thrown into. Mm-hmm. And the main kid gets thrown in that pit and he has to survive and it's just like Mad Max fucking wasteland.
Yeah.
But characters down there have like, there's this like power where items have like souls. It's very Soul Eater. Items have souls. And if you like attune to their soul and everyone can only attune to one, you can turn that item into like a crazy weapon. Oh. So he meets this like badass, hot as fuck dude who uses an umbrella as a weapon.
Oh, I saw him in one of the covers when I Googled it. Yeah.
It's sick. It's just like umbrella with knives, essentially. And this it's guy? Sick. Maybe. I can't tell.
Long hair with braids.
No, not him.
Oh, okay.
But there's dude.
Oh, this guy.
That guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That so yeah, that,
this character design is sick.
It rips. It's so good. I'm gonna bring the volume next time I come here. But it's like the sick umbrella with like knives. It transforms. And the main kid, the item that he is like attuned his soul to are gloves, which allows him, it like activates the glove's power, which is anything he touches turns into a crazy weapon.
Oh.
So he fucking gamed the system.
Nice. He got steel.
Yeah. But it's so, yeah, he has
going, coffee. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's so cool. That's it's so, like I can't talk.
Maybe is it on Shonen Jump?
Nah.
Fucking God.
It's also, it pissed me off because like 11 volumes have been made and only one has been put out in English.
Yeah.
And like they'll come out in English every like 4 months. Mm. And it's like, fucking, how tough could this be?
I literally just caught up with Kaiju number 8 and like me and Dorothy read for a half hour before we go to bed. And I just like sit there and read manga while she reads her murder novels.
Yeah.
And I now need another manga to pick back up. I'm getting caught back up on Kagurabachi. I just like, part of me doesn't give a shit anymore. But outside,
I forgot about that one. I'm surprised you're catching up.
I was like 8 chapters back. Yeah. I was like, I'll catch up. And then I started reading. I was like, I don't
really
give
boring.
A shit. It's fine. It's so fine.
Yeah. I'll bring the volume.
So now we have gotten to the part of our show where me and Danny do love letters, which is where we poll our live audience to ask us questions that we answer live. So if you guys want to watch the podcast live and ask me and Danny questions that we answer for you on the pod, please become a member over on YouTube or on Patreon for either $4.99 or $5.99 a month to become either Team Nick or Team Danny. So Daniel. Oh, you also get 2 hours of additional content every single month of me and Danny play video games.
Oh my God,
we have to... Ghoul Tucker asks, if you could combine 2 anime power systems, which would you combine and why?
You got one?
Do you mind if I go first?
Yeah.
I would combine Soul Eater with Hunter x Hunter. I would love the specificity of the Hunter x Hunter universe. So we got enhancers, we got specialists, we got transmuters. I would love how complicated and involved that power system is applied to being able to turn people into weapons. So you can turn, you have a resonance with your Meister or your soul weapon based off whether you're an enhancer. And then that is shown in the weapon you have, and you're able to build out new abilities with your weapon based off the kind of specificity you have.
Yeah. Dude, Soul Eater. I always forget how sick Soul Eater's power system is, where one dude is just a weapon.
Yeah. And that's the thing is Soul Eater, I turn you into guns or I turn you into a scythe or I turn you into a chainsaw or something. It's that's awesome for a shorter manga, but to have characters that can build on the abilities of these guns or build on the ability of these scythe because I'm a transmuter or an emitter or an enhancer, I thought would be really, really cool.
Yeah.
So or getting additional weapons or upgrades to your weapons, kind of Digimon Evolution. Yeah. Digimon Evolutions would be awesome.
Interesting.
To see Kid Death's weapons turn from pistols to assault rifles would be kind of sick.
Dude, Soul Eater's so much smarter than I think people realize because it's a friendship-based power system. I love that it's you get your partner and that partner turns into a weapon, but that weapon only works if they like you.
Yeah.
And that makes for such hype moments because at first you're that's kind of stupid. But then it's they're vibing and they're reaching their character arcs and you're oh fuck, they just made up. And then they're demon slice. And I'm oh fuck, they just killed the guy.
That's the biggest sense we've ever seen.
Yeah. So that's a good one.
Yeah.
I would choose, I've alluded to this before, for some reason, I really want a Naruto Pokemon crossover.
How does it work?
I would love, I'm glad you asked, Nick.
Oh, you're going to tell me?
I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
I would love a Pokemon series where the trainers aren't useless as fuck.
Okay.
Or where the Pokemon aren't useless as fuck.
So you go into the fight, let's say it's a 5v5, you, four Pokemon, and the other trainer.
Yeah.
And it's just an all-around beatdown.
Yeah, it's just a battle royale where the trainers are also fighting.
Yeah.
Because it's in every Pokemon trainer relationship, some aspect of it pisses me off.
Okay.
Either the Pokemon are doing all the work, or the trainers are doing all the work, in which case the Pokemon are idiots.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, every now and then, you'll catch a trainer saying, dodge, and they'll do it.
Yeah.
And it's bitch, if you see something coming,
step out of the way.
You don't need my advice.
You don't need to register what I said in order to jump out of the way.
Yeah.
There's a lightning bolt careening at your eyeballs.
Yeah. So it's I've always wanted, I'm shocked they've never done a series where the trainers fuse with the Pokemon and become a Digimon-esque, humanoid Pokemon type. Mm-hmm. They kind of do Ash. Ash's Greninja kind of becomes Ash.
Kind of. At a point. Yeah. He's uses his shadow technique to cling on to Ash. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I want?
What do you want?
Mashle, but make it Pokemon and Naruto. So there's one Poke trainer who doesn't get Pokemon, but he's
throws down.
He's the strongest guy because he's just beating down Charizards with his fists.
Yeah. He's just a crazy fighting type.
It's Toji. Put Toji in the Pokemon universe and it's Charizard, use flamethrower. And he's just you see Toji just flash step in front of him, grab him by the tongue and be you're not gonna be using this for a while. Yank.
You know how that happens? You know what the backstory is?
What?
This dude goes into the mountains. There's a Hitmonlee up there or a Hitmonchan, and he really wants this thing. He goes up and he's I'm not leaving until I catch this thing. He throws out a Pokeball, doesn't work. Throws out another one, it breaks the Pokeball midair.
Yeah.
Breaks all of his Pokeballs, and he's fuck, I gotta go home, get a new one. Hitmonchan doesn't let him.
Yeah.
Hitmonchan's one of us is going down.
Listen, your Pokemon are gone? That doesn't mean you faint.
Yeah.
You're not done with me.
Yeah, you're not done.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what trainers do, they're my Pokemon. Just out like a light, just fall back like a 50s woman with high blood pressure. Yeah, just oh no.
It's emotional distress.
Yeah. You're just Pikachu, no.
Yeah, Drew, this Hitmonchan takes out all of his Pokemon and then he's scooping them up in his arms and the thing's nah, bitch.
Yeah.
You and me.
Yeah.
He fights this thing Rock Lee, comes back to the mountain every morning to evening, throws hands or feet with this thing until finally it just accepts. It's you know what? I respect you. I'm not going to be your Pokemon, but I'll come on fights. Yeah. And so now the Hitmonchan or Machoke gives him advice.
It's like his corner coach.
Yeah. It's his
Gyarados
trainer.
Is like choking him out the neck and like Hitmonchan throws the towel in. Yeah,
they got to do that. That'd be so good.
Well, you're right.
Any flying type, he's cooked. Like single Charizard, done for.
This is what Mash will literally just like kicks his legs together super fast and like he can fly. So any flying type, he could just like just jump or something.
I guess so. If he can,
like,
bring...
there could be a whole arc where he's like, oh, I have to, like, I'm going to fight the flying type gym, and it's just him like trying to like practice jumping or something. He's going to like all these Pokemon who have like incredible like leg strength. Like he could go to, is there any like kangaroo type ones? I was gonna say Kangaskhan, but Kangaskhan is like more.
There are no kangaroo Pokemon.
Kangaskhan is probably the closest thing because he's a marsupial.
Yeah,
because he has like the baby in his tummy. Yeah. But that's crazy that we don't have that.
Yeah,
I don't think Japan knows Australia exists.
That's true.
Yeah, they're just like weird. It's America light down there.
Oh, what, Spiderville? Yeah. I'm not going there.
Yeah. How about we pass? And this is somebody in our comments is gonna be like, actually, Gen 8 did have Kangaroos. It's my fate. It had three evolutions. It was my favorite Pokemon. But yeah, that's all we have, ladies and gentlemen. Me and Danny have to go write apparently a Pokemon spinoff where
dude, it'd be so good. We
can just Pal World it. Where like instead of Pokeballs, they have like a wristwatch that they use to like throw out Pokemon.
We rip off Pokemon's original concept, which was flip phones. Remember
I don't remember that.
It was weirdly enough that makes Pokemon like a pseudo Digimon ripoff. Mm-hmm. Because originally it was flip phones, and you, like, dial a little number, probably 911.
Yeah.
And then the Pokemon comes out.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what the Pokedex is.
Yeah.
Crazy. All right. That's all we have, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for watching Otaku's Anonymous episode 63. We appreciate you guys checking in with us. Make sure you come see us Memorial Day weekend down in Houston, Texas, May 24th to the 26th. If you want to see me and Danny live, if you want to see us not swearing, not flipping you guys off, being super PG, because
then don't come, because I'm doing X-rated. Yeah,
because we're going until John Cena stops us, ladies and gentlemen. I've been NC Amber23, also known as the Weeb Commander. Daniel, got anything you want to tell the people?
I am Danny Mata. I swear to God, Nintendo, if I see a concept even close to what we just described show up in the anime, I'm suing. Lawyering up. I'm teaming up with Pal World. Shut the fuck up. You're not chiming in.
This is you already. This is practicing for Nintendo.
Yeah, boy, is it. I'm coming for your house. I'm coming for your finances. I'm coming for your women. I'm bringing you in a cage. You got 3 minutes with me and John Cena, baby.
You're stuck with me in here, man. That would be such a fun flip of the script if we sued Nintendo for stealing our idea, because they do that to anybody who even says the word Pokemon and tries to make money on it.
Yeah, boy, would it. How convenient, or like how funny would it be if like as people are watching this portion, you just get a like, this video has been taken down by copyright.
Immediately copyrighted. But all right, guys, thank you for being here. We love you. Goodbye.
And now for my next number, I'd like to return to the class.